a select cavalcade of sports is on the air. Pennsylvania, the Gillette Safety Razor Company welcomes you to the 26th All-Star Baseball Game. Hello there, everybody, with Jack Brickhouse. This is Bob Prince, ready to bring you the mid-season baseball classic between the outstanding players of the American and National League. As a sincere thank you to the men and women who buy Gillette products, we broadcast the outstanding sports events of the year for your enjoyment, including the World Series, the World Invitational Match Game Bowling Championship, Blue and Gray Football Game, the Rose Bowl, the Kentucky Derby, and the Feature Fight of the Week every Friday night. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. No longer is Pittsburgh the smoky city, but instead one of the most beautiful and dynamic of them all. The field was built by a German immigrant named Barney Dreyfus back in the year 1909, 50 years ago. So this means that on this, the 200th anniversary of the great city of Pittsburgh, we also have the 50th anniversary of Forbes Field. Barney Dreyfus had moved his ball club to Pittsburgh from Louisville at the turn of the century, then proceeded to win 3 straight pennants, after which he very pridefully decided that, by golly, his players and fans deserved a new ballpark. He picked one of the most fashionable sections of town, known as Oakland, and fought the good fight through until he saw his dream come true, and they broke ground in 1909. 4 months later, in record time, they opened the gates, and they named it Forbes Field, after the Revolutionary War figure, General John Forbes, who had camped his army here. So here we are now, 50 years later, half a dozen war years later, and of course ready to enjoy one of the great things in our way of life that's been saved by all those tragic wars. Baseball, indeed, is underway. As now, ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President of the United States makes his appearance down the left field line. As he enters with the presidents of both leagues and everyone concerned to a standing ovation on this brilliant, sunshiny, warm afternoon from Pittsburgh, Commissioner Ford Brick, President Warren Giles, President Joe Cronin, members of the Secret Service, General Manager Joe L. Brown of the Pittsburgh Pirates and party, here with the Vice President at home plate, and they will toss out, of course, in the pre-ceremony, the first ball. And down below, also, in the group, Mr. Branch Rickey Sr., one of the great names of all time in the world of baseball. Late ceremonies, the Governor of Pennsylvania, the Honorable David L. Lawrence, is also down below and is being congratulated by all the umpires, and he in turn congratulating them as this 26th renewal of the tremendous All-Star Classic that had its birth in Chicago now comes on, has had only one interruption some 7 years or more ago here in Pittsburgh. They played, in fact, a little longer than that, the first night game in this area of the All-Star Classic, and previous to that, they had gone into the All-Star game at night in Philadelphia. Many of these things will be passing your way as the broadcast gets underway. The home team will be the National League All-Stars. Therefore, let's go to the American League batting order. In left field, batting number one, Minnie Minoso of Cleveland. Batting in the number two spot and playing at second base, on the White Sox, Nellie Fox. In the number three spot, the center fielder of Detroit, Al Kaline. Batting cleanup from the New York Yankees, playing at first base, Lewis Gowron. In right field, the rifle-like arm of Rocky Colavito of the Cleveland Indians, batch number five. Gus Piandos of Baltimore will be the opening catcher, batch number six. Seventh in the lineup, the sensational home run-hitting rookie of the Washington Senators, third baseman Harmon Killebrew. At short, batting in the number eight spot, Louis Aparicio of the Chicago White Sox. An early win, the great pitcher with a record of 11-5 will be on the hill. He also, as you know, of the White Sox. For the National League home team, John Temple of Cincinnati leads it off and plays at second base. Batting in the number two spot, the home run slider par excellence of the Milwaukee Braves, Eddie Matthews at third. Henry Aaron in right field bats in the number three spot of Milwaukee. The incomparable Willie Mays of San Francisco plays center field, bats number four. Ernie Banks is the shortstop, and he bats in the number five spot. Ernie Banks of Chicago. First baseman Orlando Cepeda will bat in the number six spot, as they are now introducing the American League All-Stars. Ted Williams, the last name to be introduced. Wally Moon in left field of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's playing in the number seven spot and hitting there. Dale Crandall catches. That's eight. He of the Milwaukee Braves and of the Los Angeles Dodgers, the fine young right-hander Don Drysdale, with a record of 9-6. And now, to bring him on, the fine voice of WGN in Chicago, the young gentleman who is the fine sportscaster for the White Sox and the Chicago Cubs, Jack Bricka.
Thank you very much, Bob. All right, as Bob Press gave you the starting lineup, we won't have to do that again, but in case you did miss them, when they come to bat, of course, you can mark them down in case you want to score the ball game. The temperature is 80 degrees. It's just a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. When we came in from the airport yesterday, it was raining, and as we approached town from the airport, it got even heavier than ever, and we were a little nervous, and so was the cab driver, and so were the people downtown. But the weatherman was very confident all the way through, and it turned out that his confidence was based on some real authority, because this day has gone bright and beautiful. We have a sun-bathed field. We have one of the most colorful settings for one of the most colorful spectacles that's possible to imagine in the world of sports. Therefore, we're going to be real, real happy for the rest of this afternoon with the excitement that's going to be generated here at this 26th All-Star game. As Bob told you, Vice President Nixon is here to throw off the first ball. He's standing up down there at the box right now while the introductions of the squad continue. He is flanked by the Commissioner of Baseball, and also I noticed Warren Giles, President of the National League, and the new President of the American League, Joe Cronin, also down there. The Chairman of the Board of the American League is also here, Will Harry, from Chicago and from Wilmette. And we have people from just all over the United States of America here at this game today, although, of course, the majority of them will be rooting for the National League, because after all, most of them are from Pittsburgh. Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
On both first and third, and players may climb up on the tarpaulin and catch a ball as long as they remain only on top of that. They're going over everything down below, and the vice president has made several tosses for the benefit of the photographers. Dale Crandall will be the man that receives it. There it is. And before we get it underway, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
WGY 810 on your dial and WGFM Schenectady, the smoothest sound around. Now, this ballpark is ideally situated for those that are great hitters of triples and doubles. It is not a good home run hitting ballpark normally. There have been only five homers struck over the right field pavilion. It goes 300 feet down the right field line, but goes up a good 120 feet over that. Just going over everything down below, and the vice president has made several tosses for the benefit of the photographers. Dale Crandall will be the man to receive. And there it is. And before we get it underway, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. WGY 810 on your dial and WGFM Schenectady, the smoothest sound around. Now, this ballpark is ideally situated for those that are great hitters of triples and doubles. It is not a good home run hitting ballpark normally. There have been only five homers struck over the right field pavilion. It goes 300 feet down the right field line, but goes up a good 120 feet over that. Jack Brickheist for now will bring you up to date on that information a little later on. It falls out to 375. From 300 to 375, there's a screen in the right field deck. So balls hit off that, of course, are merely in play. Then it goes to 436 and 437 in dead center. The deepest part of this ballpark is in left center, 457 feet away in a 20-foot wall. It is 406 over the left center side, 365 down the left field line, and a high scoreboard of some 30 feet that must be cleared. The ideal weather conditions prevail. This is nothing in the way of a hitter's win today. Just a beautiful afternoon for baseball, and we're so delighted to be able to present it to you. On this, the 50th anniversary of Forbes Field, and of course, the 200th anniversary of the city of Pittsburgh. Now, as the last remaining shred of dot goes on, right down here, we'll be getting it underway in just a moment. And here to call the front four and a half of this 26th All-Star Classic, the veteran sportscaster of the White Sox and the Cubs, Jack Brickhouse. Down along the sideline, Thurley Webb, the last fellow off the field, has just thrown a final warm-up toss to Yogi Berra. Yogi took over in place of Ray Berry, the White Sox pitching coach and bullpen catcher, who had been designated as the warm-up or batting practice catcher. Sam Darren had that job for the National Leaguers. The umpires have taken their stations. Al Farnick of the National League will be at the plate. Here come the National Leaguers out on the field. Taking their positions now, Wally Moon to left field, Willie Mays to center field, Hank Aaron to right, Eddie Matthews at third, Ernie Banks at shortstop, Johnny Temple at second, Orlando Cepeda at first. Drysdale will pitch the ball game to start with. He'll work a minimum of three innings, or rather a maximum of three innings, and the other players named by the ballplayers themselves will work a minimum of three innings. Del Mandel catching the ball game. Now the National League coaches and the American League coaches have both been posted out here for some time. Coaching for the American Leaguers will be Harry Kraft of the Athletics, who will be working at first, and Tony Cuccinello of the Chicago White Sox will be taking up a very familiar post for him, third base coaching. The plate umpire, as I said, is Al Farnick of the National League. Joe Paparella of the American League will be at first. Augie Donatelli of the National League at second. Ed Runge of the American League will be at third. And on the foul line, John Wright of the American League is watching those balls down the right field line, and Shag Crawford of the National League doing the same thing down the left. In the batter's box right now is Vinny Minoso. Drysdale has won 9 and lost 6, is one of the most promising young pitchers we've ever seen. Here's the first pitch of the ball game. It's hit. There's a drive deep to center field, going way backward is Willie Mays, and he pulls that one in out there about 390 feet from the plate. Minoso, a 297 hitter with 13 homers and 51 runs batted in, wasted no time taking a good, healthy cut at pitch number one of this game. That will bring up the second baseman of the Chicago White Sox, Nelson Fox. Foxy, a 330 hitter, is among the leaders. He has two home runs and 41 runs batted in, and for him, the most unusual statistic is that RBI total, he's second only to Kevin Lawler on the White Sox in runs batted in. There is strike one call. John Drysdale, we just saw throw 11 strikeouts at the Chicago Cubs back at Wrigley Field over the weekend. has won 9 and lost 6. He throws sidearm. There's a fly ball foul down the third base side and dropped just out of reach of a few of those fans down there, but also out of reach of the left fielder Wally Moon, the third baseman Matthews, and the shortstop Banks, who also raced out there. The low seats jut out pretty far onto the field, and there is a blank area, a ground area there, which is foul territory between the end of the box seats on the third base side and the beginning of what might be termed the grandstand section extending on out into left field. Pitch swung on. There's another foul off the left by Fox. That one winds up for just a moment on the third deck. This is a triple deck stadium, by the way. And now, Dell Crandall, the catcher, has gone out to have a little talk with Drysdale. This kid throws aspirin tablets when he's right. He throws sidearm, and the way he became a sidearm pitcher is a little interesting to me. I happened to ride on the plane with Don from Chicago yesterday, and he told me he developed a sidearm delivery as a second baseman in high school, throwing sidearm normally. Pitch is swung on. Fox struck out. There's a rarity. Nelson Fox strikes out. He rarely ever does that. That's two down. Brings up the center fielder K-line, a very courageous ball player. Fellows made a great comeback from a most painful and most disgusting injury. He was hit by a relay ball on a double play at first base, which deflected off the first baseman's glove, and it cut his cheekbone, broke the bone. He's been chopped on pretty good and stitched up pretty well on this one. He's hitting 344. He just got back in action recently. He's taken over center field for Jimmy Dykes, Detroit Tigers, has done a marvelous job. He has 15 homers and 50 runs batted in. There's a curveball strike, a fast curve. Drysdale has about 3 feet on the curveball, and Don himself, strangely enough, thinks that he throws one of those curveballs three-quarters overhand, but his own teammates keep insisting that it's still a sidearm pitch. He can't see it that way. That's a little outside, a good fastball. His fast curve is a real hummer, and that fastball, of course, when he's on, is very, very difficult to even see. Drysdale, I might point out, became a father last Friday and hasn't seen that daughter of his yet at home until she's 3 weeks old. Inside pitch, picked his bat, got away. Count on the batter is ball three and strike one to K-line. Two out. Nobody on base for the American Leaguers in the first inning. People still streaming into the ballpark. Sunday's famous Ford Field in Pittsburgh. Drysdale gets the sign. Here's the motion. Winds up. Sidearms it. Swing and a miss. K-line struck out. Don Drysdale, who leads the National League in strikeouts, has just shown why. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left, and we have the National League coming to bat in a moment now as the American League takes the field. So in the middle of the first inning, the score is nothing to nothing. 50 years ago, the Pittsburgh Pirates first played baseball in this grand old park. Yes, sir, way back in 1909. For the fun of it, take a guess as to how many Gillette razors were sold that year. All set? Well, it was actually only 385,000, a far cry from the 9 million that you people bought last year. And the way you're taking to that new Gillette 195 adjustable still new records will be set in 1959. But more than that, the Gillette adjustable beats anything you ever laid against your face for all-out shaving comfort. Here's why. There's an adjusting collar on the handle that you turn to any one of 9 different degrees of edge exposure and angle. Turn this collar one way, you get less blade edge. Turn it the other way, and more blade edge is exposed. Light beard, heavy beard, tender skin, no matter what, you're guaranteed clean, long-lasting shaves and comfort that's something, really something. The Gillette 195 adjustable is so popular, many stores are out of stock. If you have trouble finding it, order one now from your dealer. You'll be receiving a new supply as soon as production permits. Only $1.95 complete with blue blade dispenser and travel case. Leading off in the first inning. In the batter's box now is second baseman Johnny Temple. Cincinnati's great second baseman. 326 hitter, 4 homers, 32 runs batted in for the year. The pitcher early win of the Chicago White Sox. He won 11 and lost 5 so far this year. And 260 major league victories for this great, great performance. Triano's the catcher, gets him inside. We'll set those outfielders, infielders in a moment. There's a curveball, strike, strike one. Win, of course, still has a fastball, but it's not the real blazer that Drysdale throws. But he now resorts to guile, and he has about as much shrewdness and cunning as any pitcher you could possibly name. Curveball swung up. There's a fly ball straight away to center. K-line goes back a dozen steps, reaches up, takes it. Temple lines one straight away to center field about 340 feet from the plate. One away, the batter is Eddie Matthews, the long ball hitting, left-handed hitter, third baseman from the Milwaukee Braves, hitting 306 for the regular season. Eddie has 25 home runs and 59 runs batted in. The outfield will shift over radically for him. Palomino, deep in right, K-line at right center. The left fielder Minoso chipped it over. They're all playing deep. The right side of the infield, Fox and Scotland is also a little bit deep, almost back to the outfield grass. First pitch is outside, high, ball one. Ball one. Coaches are ready throwing to the Phillies, and Danny Murtaugh of the Pirates. Sawyer is first, Murtaugh a third. Foul ball. And here's a souvenir for somebody. Almost made it to the press box. The matter of fact, it landed right in front of the official scorers. There are three of them. Eddie Munzel of the Chicago Sun-Times. Jack Cunningham. And Les Biederman of the Pittsburgh Papers. Ball one, strike one now to Eddie Matthews. One away, nobody on, no score. We're in the first inning. Third ball, front on. Change speed on Matthews. Ball seems to just kind of slide away from him a little bit, even though Matthews is batting left-handed. And Wynn is the right-handed pitcher. Ball one, strike two. Early throws, among other things, an occasional knuckler. If he gets two strikes on you, like a one and two, which he has now rolling to his left, but men with it. Third ball outside, two and two. Ball two, strike two. As we look straight away in the center field, we see, among other things, the Barney Dreyfus monument. Rather, that's Dreyfus. I don't know who built this place. There's a wall, hit ball, deep to right, way back, goodbye. It is a home run. Eddie Matthews in a long shot into the right field seats, the lowest stand. And the National League goes out in front of this ball game by a score of 1-0. Eddie Matthews took six on early whip fastball and lined it about 15 rows in into the lower right field seat, about a 390 or 95 foot poke. That brings up Aaron, his teammate, right fielder, the only all-star elected unanimously. Aaron is hitting 370 during the regular season with 22 home runs and 72 runs batted in. And there is strike one call right at the knees. Eddie Matthews loves this ballpark. He hit a third of his total homers last year in this park. Strike one to Hank. There's a foul ball. Back of the plate. The screen extends about halfway up to the roof, and if the foul ball is high enough, it'll clear the screen and still go into the seat. Foul tip, strike three. Aaron struck out. That struck right into Briando's net. Two out now. Willie Mays is up. And we're doing a little research here. We find that Eddie Matthews' very first all-star hit in his fourth game. He finally got it when he did it with a dandy. Now here's Willie Mays, Mr. Excitement, the fabulous Mr. Mays. When the Giants come into town, Ernie Banks, who's not very, very lippy at all, so most valuable and less valuable, yells at Mays, here come the Willie Mays Athletic Club. There's one right back at Will. Early stuck up the glove. The ball stayed in there, and Mays lines out to the pitcher to retire the side. One run. One hit, a home run by Matthews. No errors. Nobody left at the end of one full inning. The score is the National League. One, the American League, nothing. Two, Avery. Holiday, $1.79. Paper Mate writes every time. Old the handprints, fingerprints, grease, or grind. Guarantees not skip, slip, slide, or sputter. The new Holiday even writes over butter. You can take a piece of butter. Now listen here. And on a piece of paper, you can make a tear. With an ordinary pen, you can try to write a line, but you'll skip over the day. Every time. Then pick up the Paper Mate Holiday pen and go through the butter test. Once again, watch it right through the butter. Without a slip, this new Paper Mate guaranteed not to skip. New Paper Mate Holiday, $1.79. In the batter's box, as we start the second inning for the American League, is Bill Scowron from Chicago and the New York Yankees. First baseman, a 293 hitter for the regular season. The Moose has 15 homers, 56 runs batted in. Drysdale fires away, low and away. And that is ball one. Scowron will be followed by Colapito of Cleveland and Triandos of Baltimore. The score is 1-0 National League. We're in the second inning. Outfield, as they will be for most of the day, is deep. There's Ground ball, first rounder of the ball game. Up with it is Johnny Temple, the throw to Cepeda, and Skarrud is out. Fairly easy chance for Johnny Temple, the very classic second baseman for the Cincinnati Redlegs. That brings up one of the great young potential stars of the big game of baseball, Rocky Colavito. Ted Wiggins himself has tagged this fellow for future greatness as a home run hitter. Colavito is hitting 280 right now for the regular season. He has 24 homers, 57 runs batted in. He's 25 years old. He also has one of the truly great throwing odds in the American League, too. Fouled off the first pitch there for strike one. Right-handed hitter. And stands pretty well forward in that batter's box. Takes that long slugger's grip on the bat. Drysdale fires. Pitch is fouled. High, off to the right, and up on the roof. 0-2. One away, nobody on. The outfield. Straight away and deep. Rocky Colavito swings a murderous bat. Like a miss, Drysdale slips one past him. A knee-high fast curve to the outside corner. That two-down brings up Triano, the catcher. Three strikeouts now for Drysdale, who's retired the first 5 men he faced. Here comes Gus Triano, a 267 hitter for the year. Catcher and first baseman for the Baltimore Orioles. He has 20 home runs, 50 runs batted in this year. There's a pop-up in the infield. First baseman Cepeda has no trouble with it, and Triantis is out to retire the side. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. And so, at the middle of the second inning, the score is the National League 1, the American League nothing. Well, Hank Aaron's the only strikeout victim Wynn has, but, boy, I'll tell you, Hank will still be dangerous anytime he steps up there. The players paid Hank a wonderful compliment. They made him their unanimous all-star choice this year. Never happened before in the history of the game. When it comes to electing favorites, Hank himself has one he goes all out for. The name? Gillette Blue Blade. Hank has good reason, too. No other blades shave him so smooth, so easy. That's because no other blades are so keen or so mirror-finished. And here's the topper. Gillette Blue Blades are double-edged. You get two of the finest finished edges on each blade instead of the ordinary one you get on single edge blades. This means you get twice as many shaves per blade, save both time and money. So, are you fixed for blades? If you don't have plenty, better get an extra package or two of Gillette Blue Blades in handy dispensers that have safety compartments in the back for used blades. They're 20 for 98 cents, 10 for 49 cents. Remember, they're double edge for double shaving comfort, double shaving economy. Moving into the National League half of the second inning now at Pittsburgh, Ernie Banks, the National League's most valuable player, is going to lead off. Ernie's hitting 302, has 23 homers and 76 runs batted in. Shortstop. And what a great ball player he is. First pitch by Early Wynn is curve low and inside for a ball. Ball one. Banks will be followed by Cepeda at first and Moon, the left fielder. Big swing. Side on curveball by Early. One and one. Banks is one of the quietest of men and one of the most pleasant. He doesn't waggle that bat very much in the batter's box. But he really brings it through. That foul dribbles over toward the third base dugout where the American Leaguers are. It's ball one, strike two. Ernie, like Hank Aaron, is not a big man. He weighs about 175 to 178 most of the time. But he has that tremendous wrist action, that marvelous sense of timing. There's the ground ball. Back third. It's foul. Third base umpire, Ed Runge, sticks that pointed finger over the foul line into foul territory, indicating very quickly that it was a foul ball. Ball one, strike two to Banks. Outfield to the left and deep. Score 1-0 in favor of the National League. We're in the second inning. Outfield, as usual, to the left and deep. Thanks, Ben. That's pretty well hit there. It's a drive to left center. It is the base hit. It's going all the way to the wall at the 406-foot mark. Ernie takes the turn at second and holds up. It's a two-base hit. The left center between Minoso and Feline for Ernie Banks. A double for Banks. Nobody out. That brings up the first baseman, Cepeda. Orlando. The great San Francisco Giant first baseman is a 331 hitter. 17 home runs this year, 63 runs batted in. Bat on second, nobody out. Well, would you have a bunt here? No bunt. There's a very high fly to left field. Benoso comes in for it. Still running hard, and finally ducks away as Aparicio, the shortstop, made the catch. It looked like Minoso's ball all the way, and at the last moment, he teared off, and Little Louie went out to make that catch in short left field. I would guess about 270 or 80 feet from the plate. Here's the left fielder, Wally Moon, traded from St. Louis to Los Angeles this year. Wally's a 299 here, having a very good go, and he has five homers and 37 runs batted in. Bat on second, one away. Curve is low, ball one. Part of this place is triple deck. The right field area, however, is double deck, but that second deck is sure a tall second deck. Foul off to the left, out of play. Moon won the left field starting job in a very hotly contested election. Wallace Wade Moon. Bryan, Texas. Pick number 9 on the back of his white home uniform. The National League is the home ball club. The right side of the infield is pretty deep. Nelson Fox backs up there pretty deep for Moon, a left-handed hitter. Wynn takes plenty of time. Glances over his shoulder second, turns and throws. The pitch is outside. And the count is now ball two, strike one on Moon. Danny Murtaugh clapping his hands, yelling encouragement there from his third base coach's box. Then a Betty Sawyer, the first base coach, manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, is able to forget his own problems a little bit today and concentrate on the problems of Fred Haney. Ball two, strike one. Strike call. Fast curve ball just above the knees to the outside corner. 2-2 now. For the ball game is 1-0 in favor of the National League. We're in the second inning. Banks led off the second inning here with a two base hit. Cepeda popped up and Moon is at bat. One out, man on second. People still coming into this ballpark. Wynn throws that rubber. Set. No wind-up, of course. Throws. Pitch is fouled off the left. That's way out of play. A souvenir for somebody. Ball two, strike two now to Wally Moon. Wally had a tough job when he came into baseball a few years ago. He had to fill the shoes of St. Louis, left by the great Enos Slaughter. And there was a lot of ill feeling when the Cardinals traded Slaughter away. And Moon was taking the place of an idol. Well, he not only did it capably, he wound up being named Rookie of the Year. And he's been a standout ball player ever since. He had one dip there in his career, but right at this minute, he's back on top again, flirting with a 300 batting average. And good enough to play in the All-Star game. Here's the set now by Wynn. Glances to second, turns and throws. The curve is low, over the plate, but low. Bardic leaves that right hand down at his side. It's ball three, strike two. One thing about it, you never have any doubt about it. Strike if Al Bardic is umpiring. He throws that right hand out there, and he fellows all over the ballpark. There's nothing subtle about him. And for that reason, he is considered quite a capable umpire, for that reason among many, many others. Ball three, strike two. Outfield still, pretty deep. Just about straight away. That curve is outside, and Wally Moon has worked Wynn for a walk. That puts men on first and second, one away, and brings up catcher Del Crandall. Crandall hitting 277. Has a dozen home runs this year and 39 runs batted in. He's a real leader, a real field leader. He's one of those guys who made the jump from Class A ball to the major leagues and has stuck ever since. He came up when the Boston Braves were the Boston Braves instead of Milwaukee Braves. And Dell has been a real leader type. Juwan, there's a foul. Out of play, upper deck, strike one. Crandall, in his lifetime in the majors, he's now in his ninth year, is a 250 hitter. This doesn't sound too impressive, but if you'll double-check his history, you'll find that he got that one hit for every four official trips to the plate most of the time when it counted quite a bit. So get that hit when it'll break your back. There's a curveball. Inside, he swings and misses. 0-2. Great handler of pitchers. Great hustler. strictly a leader type. 0-2. Warming up in the bullpen for the American Leaguers is Bud Bailey of the Kansas City Athletics, left-handed knuckleballer. 0-2. Foul, back up into the screen on the curveball. Still a no ball, strike two count on Prattle. Banks on second. Wally Boone on first. 1-0 ball game in favor of the National League. We are in the second inning at Ford Field in Pittsburgh, a very, very famous location, which, as Bob Prince told you, is now enjoying its 50th anniversary. A very impressive setting, like Wrigley Field, has a lot of vines on the outfield wall. Strike three call, a neat curve. Crandall looked it over and was crossed up. Two down, two on, and the pitcher, Drysdale, comes to bat. Now, Drysdale is one of the better hitting pitchers. He'll hit that home run for you every once in a while, although, after being a young fellow who got himself a record number of homers for a pitcher last year, has three hits here. He was used as a pinch hitter for the first time the other night, wound up hitting into a double play, much to his embarrassment. Don Drysdale got a fine hand as he walked out toward the batter's box. Banks on second. Wally Boone on first. Two out. Drysdale was a high school quarterback. Should have made a good one. 6'5". Foul ball. Strike one. As a matter of fact, Don was given quite a few opportunities to play college football, and at one time did have his eye on a professional football career, and as a quarterback, a 6'5" quarterback, under today's very strenuous professional football requirements, he might have fit the bill very well. Young man from Van Nuys, California, although he lives out in the valley now, the San Fernando Valley. There's a swing. 0-2. When they gauge pitchers, they take a look and see how many he struck out as opposed to how many he has walked. If you want to do that with Drysdale, you've got a pretty impressive figure, because this fella has struck out 133 and walked only 44 men this year. Earned run average 3.23. With that very, very big curveball of his, and that retires the side. Three strikeouts for Early now in two innings. No runs. One hit, a leadoff double by Banks. No errors. Two men left. Only one walk. And so, at the end of the second inning, the score is the National League 1, the American League nothing. Well, leading off in the third inning will be Johnny Temple when those National Leaguers get a chance to bat. And they're half of this inning, right up the American League of this route. You know, you can put Johnny down as just another big league star who's all out for that new Gillette adjustable razor. Little wonder, all it takes is a simple turn of the micrometer dial, and you set the Gillette adjustable to any one of 9 different degrees of edge exposure and edge angle. There's a setting that suits your requirements exactly for fast, clean shave. By far the most comfortable ever. That's guaranteed. Be sure you see the Gillette 195 adjustable first chance you get. Let's pause 10 seconds, or rather 30 seconds, for station identification.
WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. When you're thirsty as a hard-working southpaw on the mound, then pop open a bottle of Saratoga Vichy. You see, this perfect mixer is a great thirst fixer, too. Saratoga Vichy's sparkling extra-dry tang quenches your thirst as no sweet beverage can, and it replaces vital minerals your body loses through perspiration. If you want real Vichy,
get the yellow label.
Killebrew leading off in the third inning has just taken a whack at the first pitch and has popped up to the shortstop, and that's one away and brings up the shortstop Aparicio. One on down, and Aparicio, the very, very excellent shortstop of the White Sox, takes ball one, a fastball outside. Check that. Willie Mays came in as Banks and Temple went out and made the catch on Killebrew's fly ball out back to second base. Willie will do that. There's a fly ball out to right center field. Aaron moving over. Hank is there. He takes it. Aparicio is out. Two down. And we're probably going to get a pinch hitter. is warming up, by the way, for the National League. No, sir, early win is going to bat for himself. We saw a scurry along the bat rack there in the American League dugout. Although Early is a pretty good hitter himself. When he was with the Washington Senators one time, he had a separate clause in his contract with Clark Griffiths calling for X dollars as a pinch hitter. Early has won 11 and lost 5. He's earned an average of 3.83 at this point in the regular season. Won 260 major league games, 20th in the list of all-time winners. And Drysdale throws a fast one past him. Strike one. The score is 1-0 in favor of the National League. We're in the third inning now with the American League, the visiting ball club at bat. Two out, nobody on. Strike. 0-2. Drysdale is reminiscent of Ewell Blackwell, the famous whip, with that sidearm delivery of his. It's almost a crossfire pitch. That's low and inside. Ball one, strike two. Frankie Frisch once said about Blackwell, and I think he said today about this fellow, that there should be a law against his being allowed to pitch that way to right-handed hitters. 1-2. Way outside. 2-2. He'll throw that jammer at these left-handers. He'll throw it right at their fist. And the funny part of it is, it's thrown with almost a screwball motion. But it isn't a screwball. Strike, win. Goes down swinging, throws the bat down angrily. No run, no hits, no errors, nobody left. And Drysdale has retired 9 in a row and has struck out 4 of them. 3 balls hit out of the infield on him. A marvelous performance. And so at the middle of the third inning, the score is the National League 1, the American League nothing. Well, as we said, it's a beautiful day. And even if it weren't, well, we can't do much about the weather. But we do know that there are going to be plenty more of hot, humid days ahead. You know the kind I mean. Days when you especially appreciate the clean, refreshed feeling of a shaving cream shave. And there's no better way to prepare for that shaving cream shave than with Gillette Foamy, the instant lather shaving cream. Fast and easy, and how? Just a touch of the foamy nozzle, and instantly you have billowy, snow-white lather. Lather so rich, so full-bodied, that just a little goes a long way. That's economy. And another plus, Foamy contains K34, the exclusive antiseptic that destroys harmful bacteria on your face. Gillette Foamy is available in 2 sizes, regular at 79 cents, or the new Giant Foamy, almost twice as much for only 98 cents. And you can get Foamy with cool, refreshing menthol added if you like. Take your pick from the Gillette Foamy display at a store near you. Johnny Temple leading off in the third. And there's a strike call, knee-high. From that outside corner, strike one to Temple, who's out of the ball game with a fly ball to K-line in center field. Well, Stengel's got Ryan Duren warming up now. Did have Daly. 1-1. Ball one, strike one to Temple. He'll be followed by Matthews, whose home run represents the only scoring in the ball game so far. Then the right fielder, Aaron. When let's go, there's a high fly ball into short, right center. Calavito is there, and he takes it. Temple is out. One away, that'll bring up third baseman Eddie Matthews. And a home run, a line drive homer into the right field grandstand. The lower deck, last time at bat, getting a nice hand as he steps in. Eddie Matthews. 25 regular season home runs. The batter's box again. Wind throws. There's a very high fly ball in foul territory. Scarlett moves over to the low boxes. He takes it. And Matthews is out. Two down. Hank Aaron up. Hank struck out the last time at bat. Hitting a fabulous 370. And for a long time, after the season opened this year, it became evident that Hank had his eyes on a 400 season. He may still have. Of course, the outstanding pitching feat in the history of this series is still Carl Hubbell's 1934 performance when he struck out 5 in a row, 6 all told. The total of 6 strikeouts is the record, which has subsequently been tied by Johnny Vandermeer in 1943 in a night game at Philadelphia and Larry Jansen at Comiskey Park in 1950. We saw both games. Curveball, one off, line drive right into the shortstop's glove. Aparicio just reached up for that one, and Little Louie took it to tire the side. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. And at the end end of the third inning, the score is the National League 1, the American League nothing. Inning, and Lou Burdette is the new pitcher. Lou Burdette will pitch starting the fourth inning. Both Wynn and Drysdale finish their chores. Early Wynn, who was last year's winning pitcher, leaves with a 1-0 deficit. He made one mistake. He pitched that home run ball to Eddie Matthews. Drysdale made none. Now here's Lou Burdette, one of the great, great pitchers of his day. A fellow who has had more great adventures and more great accomplishments in his years in the National League than we have the time to tell you about right now. Lou, in the regular season, is 1-11 and lost 8. He comes into this ballgame with a regular season average of, earned run average of 4.01. He has struck out 49 and walked only 22. Selva Lewis Burdette Jr. from Maxwell, West Virginia, 6'2", weighs 180, born down there in 1926 on November 22nd. And in a couple of World Series, and who can forget that 57 performance when he won 3 and lost none. Top of the batting order up now for the American League. Minnie Minoso of the Cleveland Indians, left fielder, a .297 hitter, with 13 homers and 51 runs batted in the regular season, is going to lead off. He'll be followed by Fox and Kaline. Vinny is one of the most colorful of all players, certainly one of the great hustlers of his day. He'll give 120% of himself at all times. 1-0 to score now at the top of the fourth. National League out in front, and Burdette gets set. The high strike, strike one. Burdette is a real fidgety Phil out there. He really gestures and goes through lots and lots of antics and actions. Talks to himself, too, by the way. He'll whistle once in a while. You can hear him audibly whistling out there. And like he told us one time, he said, "Yes, you bet your life I talk to myself out there. And if things aren't going right, I answer myself, too." 1-1 is the count on Minoso. There's the ground ball to the right of the mound. Temple in for it. Stumbles, but picks himself up and throws in time to get Minoso, who was really picking him up and laying him down that first base line. Johnny Temple, with great reflex action, recovered from stumbling after going for that ball. One away, Fox up. Little Nell struck out the last time at bat. One out, nobody on. Fourth inning. The outfield shallows up a little on Foxy, and they're playing him just about straight away. He'll play the pitch. He'll hit to any field. That fast curve was a little outside, off the corner, maybe an inch. Ball one. Our vantage point is perfect. We're directly behind home plate. We can see those pitches coming in beautifully. We're just high enough so that we have just a beautiful perspective on everything that goes on down there. There's a foul ball down the right field side, and it gives John Wright from the American League a little work. Ball one, strike one. 1-1. Wally Moon, Willie Mays, and Hank Aaron at left, center, and right for the National Leaguers on the field right now. Eddie Matthews at third, Banks at short, Johnny Temple at second, Orlando Cepeda at first, the battery of Burdette and Crandall. 1-1. There's a high foul ball, and Eddie Matthews has a play on this one. Back to the coach's box at third. He takes it. Nelson Fox is out. Two down. K lineup. Burdette will throw an occasional screwball. And you can tell when he's throwing that screwball because he runs right off the mound with that delivery. This is Al Kaline, struck out. Kill the time up. Has a pretty good battle going with his teammate on Detroit, Harvey Keene, for the American League batting leadership. Right at this moment, Al is second with a .344 batting average. Strike one to count on him. Two out in the fourth inning. Burdette touches the cap, puts the ball in the glove, peers down, gets the sign, goes into his motion, throws a sidearm pitch that's low. 1-1. Randall fires the ball back to him as he has so many, many times. And Lou sets off that mound. Just to give you an idea, we'll try to covered this guy's gestures for you. He just wrapped his hand across his letters, picked up the rosin bag, dropped it, covered his chug in his cap, rocked back twice, winds up, here we go, and that's low. That's ball. Gets the ball, turns his back to the plate, rubs his left hand across his left hip. Now he rubs up the ball as he steps off the mound, turns around, looks down at the batter and the catcher, sticks the glove under his arm, takes the glove out of him under his arm, sticks it back off, sticks the glove in a tuck to his cap, makes a motion toward his chin, tucks at his cap again after dropping the rosin bag, hits his shoulder, starts the windup, how's this for action? And there's the pitch, a foul ball out of play. 2-2. Ball two, strike two. And of course, as Lou claims, the best pitch he has is one he doesn't use. The one he's been accused of is better. Picks up the rosin bag, tucks at the cap. Little battle of nerves going on there between the batter and the pitcher. Here's the windup. Throws it just a little bit off the corner. Right at the knees. Ball three. Strike two. Two out in the fourth. The National League is leading by a score of 1-0. The American League at bat. K-line in the batter's box. And Lou Burdette goes through every motion a pitcher can go through, plus a couple which haven't been put in the book yet. Again. Lester fly. There's a foul ball high back of the plate. Goes over the top of the screen and the below seats back of the screen. It's ball three, strike two. Just over the wall, we're looking at Chenley Park. And we'd heard about the monument to Honus Wagner, but we thought the monument was inside the ballpark. It's just outside the left field wall over there in Chenley Park and just in front of the Carnegie Museum. 3-2. Outfield just a shade left. There's a pretty well hit ball. That's very deep. Way back, 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 back. It is over the wall. A home run for Al Kaline. This ball game is all tied up. Al Kaline dropped one over the left field wall. Moon never did give up on it. Went all the way back to the wall, but finally, with his shoulder grazing the wall, all he could do was stand there and helplessly watch that ball go over the wall for a game-tying home run by Al Kaline. Makes a new ball game out of it. The score is 1-1. We're in the fourth inning and Scourin is up. Bill Scourin. Grounded out. Temple to Cepeda the last time at bat. Bill, by the way, wears a corset at all times, on and off that diamond. Result of a back injury. Helping around the house. There's the foul ball. Strike one. That's Mr. Al Kaline for all-star home run. Strike one to Scourin. Two out, nobody on. Foul ball. 0-2. Scourin first came to our attention in Chicago as a prep school, Weber High, football player, and we knew him at Purdue as a left-footed punter. But he got a chance to join the Yankees and get one of those real good-sized bonuses. $25,000 bonus. 0-2. There's a ground ball. In the hole between short and third. A base hit for Scourin. Now with two outs, Calamito is up. Well, the National League pitching has retired 11 in a row before that first hit. And the first hit was a home run. Now Calamito is up. Struck out the last time at bat. Bat on base, two outs. Right-handed hitter, as we said before, stands well forward in that box. He likes to get up that curveball before it gets a chance to break on him. And there's a swing, and there's a base hit in the center field. About 3 feet to the left of second base, Willie Mays hustling the ball in. Scourin stopping at second. Now with men on first and second, Triandos is up. Two down. Action in the bullpen for the National Leaguers. And Roy Bates, who Haney said is a cinch to see action in this game, is beginning to warm up. In the meantime, Crandall goes out to have a little talk with Burdette. They've been in this hole before. Triandos, the catcher for the American Leaguers, the big burly fellow, Bob Turley's partner, they have an insurance business together in Baltimore, is in the batter's box, takes that wide stance, just has 20 regular season home runs. Now he's at bat with a chance to put the American League in the lead. It's 1-1 here in the fourth inning, two men on and two out. Burdette is in a jam. field is plenty deep for Gus. Center fielder Mays shaded a little toward left. There's a strike, Miss Farley. Strike one. Fast curve ball. Just below the belt, about 2 inches inside the strike zone, the inside corner. Strike one. Gowron and Colomito with modest leadoff. Gowron takes about a five-stepper there at second. Now he stretches it to seven as Burdett gets ready. Here's the pitch. There's a well-hit ball. He's the right center. And Mays running hard. It is caught by Hank Aaron. Boy, did Henry make himself a running catch that time. That ball was hit over 400 feet. Deep to right center field. And Hank Aaron pulled it in with a long and who knows, maybe a game-saving run. One run, three hits, no errors, two men left on. And so at the middle of the fourth inning, the score is American League One, National League One.
Two. Paper Mate. Holiday. $1.79. Paper Mate writes every time. Old handprint, fingerprint, grease or grime. Guaranteed not to skip, slip, slide, or sputter. The new Holiday even writes over butter. You can take a stick of butter. Now listen here. And on a piece of paper, you can make a smear. With an ordinary pen, you can try to write a line, but you'll skip over the butter every time. Then pick up the Paper Mate Holiday pen and go through the butter test. Once again, watch it right through the butter without a slip. This new Paper Mate guaranteed not to skip. New Paper Mate Holiday, $1.79.
We have a new pitcher now for the American League, Ryan Duran. Here's the flamethrower from the New York Yankees. A fellow with thick glasses. And he fires that ball. Man, does he fire that ball. He'll face Willie Mays. Banks and Cepeda. Duran in the regular season has won one and lost two. He's strictly a relief pitcher, but get this earned run average. 0.90. Struck out 47, walk 22. Willie Mays, who lined out the pitcher early win the last time a bat is in the batter's box. Here's a windup, here's the throw, and there's a ball, one on, strike one. The score is tied 1-1. This is the first chance that many people here in Pittsburgh have had to see the American League stars who are performing today. They've heard about this Duran fastball. You could probably hear the gasp that went through the crowd on that first pitch, strike one. Strike two, another fastball, knee high to the outside corner. Willie Mays raises the right eyebrow as he looks out there at Duran. 0-2. 0-2. 1-1 ball game. Mays at bat for the National Leaguers in the home half of the fourth inning. Outfield, plenty deep. Here we go. Fastball, a little outside. Three fastballs to Willie. Ball one, strike two. One and two. Center fielder K-line, about three steps to the left. Everybody else is straight away. Willie went for a low outside fastball and struck out. Everybody seems to have brought that strikeout pitch to the ballpark with them today. Early win struck out, let's see, one, two, three, and his three-inning stint. Duran struck out the first man to face him. And Drysdale struck out four in three innings. Ernie Banks, who led off the second inning with a double and died on second base, is going to bat now. One out. Ball is low, over the plate but low. Question, why did Fred Haney decide to bat Banks fifth in the batting order and Mays fourth? The answer was that Haney's logic might be considered a little bit on the pessimistic side. He said, well, in case they get us down in order in the first inning, Mays will be a bat first, and if he gets on base, he can run better than Banks, and I'll have a good base runner with Banks up. Ball two, 2-0. And as it turned out, Mays batted in the first inning because Matthews fell to the home run. So that meant the fourth man in the batting order came up, and Ernie did lead off the second inning. And as I said before, he doubled. Ball two. Foul ball. Ball two, strike one. That went high, back of the plate, over the screen to the upper deck. Ball two, strike one. So far, it's been a pitcher's day, except for the two lightning-like thrusts offensively, one on each team, the home run ball, one by Kalai, one by Matthews. That's the scoring story at this point. Bat handle foul, high, back of the plate, inside pitch. And some customer leaned so far over the upper deck trying to get that one that I, for a moment, wondered if he might not tumble out. Ball two, strike two. Two and two. American League has three hits, the National League two in this ballgame, which is in the fourth inning. Two and two. Duren, with a side to Pianos, winds up. Another bat handle foul. Inside pitch. Ball two, strike two. Well, the relief pitching, per se, on both sides is really very promising. What with Duren's 0.90 and Roy Bases' 0.83. Two and two. A little close, nearly nicked him. Ball three, strike two. You have to be a brave man to take a toehold against this Duren. Ball three, strike two. As a matter of fact, I remember Frank Lane one time telling me and another reporter that as far as he was concerned, hitting is 60% courage in baseball, and other baseball men since have verified that percentage. There's a deep foul down the right field side, curving back in the low seats. It's ball three, strike two. You have to crowd that plate. You have to guard it. Otherwise, if that pitcher moves you too far back into the batter's box there, he'll dip one across that outside corner, and it'll be a strike, but it'll still be beyond the end of your bat. Ball three, strike two. Ernie Banks, the batter. Marvelous reflexes. Great wrist. High over his head. And that's ball four. And had there been somebody on base, that would have been a wild pitch. Banks draws a walk. That is the second walk given to an American leaguer. Wally Moon got one in the second inning. And that brings up the first baseman, Cepeda. Up to shortstop Aparicio in short left, the last time at bat. Second walk given to a National Leaguer, by an American Leaguer, I better say, huh? Down ball to left, second, over with it. Aparicio steps on second and throws to first in time, and that kills off the side. Aparicio moving to his left, completed the double play, forcing Banks and doubling up to Cepeda. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left at the end of the fourth inning. The score is still 1-1.
The shot, you've got to be shot, it's your how are you fixed for play?
Can you have plenty?
How are you fixed for play?
You better check.
Please make sure you have enough, because a worn out blade makes shaving mighty tough. How are you fixed for play?
You better look.
Gillette Blue Blade, we need.
Let's pause 30 seconds for station identification.
WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. There's never been another ball player like Babe Ruth. And confusing advertising to the contrary, there's only one genuine Saratoga Vichy. Demand the brand with a famous yellow label, your only assurance of getting that distinctive extra dry, bubbly tang. Saratoga Vichy helps you feel better in the morning, too. If you want real Vichy,
get the yellow label.
The ball game is moving into the top of the fifth inning, and leading off is going to be Killebrew, third baseman, 271 hitter who leads the American League in homers and runs batted in. A young fellow who's emerged as a new star on the baseball horizon. He has 28 homers and 70 runs batted in. A young fellow built up strong shoulders working a milk route for a couple of years while he was in high school. has the unusual distinction of being scouted by a United States senator. He counted the senators on him, and sure enough, the senator from Idaho was right. Mr. Killebrew turned out to be a very good idea. Burnett throws one, and that is ball one. As the fifth inning gets underway, American League at bat, the ball game tied 1-1. Killebrew will be followed by Aparicio and then Durant. Outfield to the left and deep. There's a ground ball pass to the left of second base. Moves over, makes that play, and fires to first in time. Boy, that looked like it had a good chance to get past Ernie, but he just gave it that extra oomph toward the end of that stretch and got his man. One out, Aparicio up. Louis Aparicio. Hitting 291, five homers this year, which is quite a few for Little Louis. 34 runs batted in, a little fed up down in Venezuela. Chicago fans are really in love with this guy. Hit a fly ball to right the last time at bat. Pitcher is Burdett. Ball one. Just handed a note from Bob that Senator Welker from Idaho, who got Killebrew for Washington, also got Law for Pittsburgh. Vern Law. Ball one. Knee-high curveball strike. One and one. Game tied 1-1. National League with a homer by Matthews in the first. The American League match two with K-Lines in the fourth. The American has out hit the National in the first four innings, 3-2. One away. Louis Aparicio, eighth man in the batting order. Sidearm curve, swung on. There's a fly ball back to left field. That backs Wally Moon up. He's near the wall, and he pulls it in about 10 feet away from that 406-foot mark in left field. Aparicio giving it a pretty good ride. Two down. Durham, the pitcher, is up. Brian Durham. You don't take a toehold against this Durant too often. And he's been accused of throwing that duster, as other pitchers have too. But he claims, of course, he doesn't throw the duster purposely. He may throw a brushback pitch, but as it was explained to me one time, it's not really a duster unless your hat goes one way and the bat goes the other. Strike one now to Durant. Swing. On strike two. Burdett swimming a curve pass. Him 0-2. They're playing in the swing late. Willie Mays, the center fielder, is shaded over toward right center. 0-2. Two out. Nobody on. Fifth inning. Tried to butt. Missed it. Durant struck out, and that retires the side. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. Well, that's the halfway point of the ball game. And the score at the middle of the fifth inning is American League 1, the National League 1. Well, let's see Harvey Keene stretching that dugout. He'll probably get in the ball game too. You know, in Harvey's 7 years in the majors, he's been chosen on six All-Star teams, both as a shortstop and an outfielder. Harv's the American League leading hitter right now. Tough man to fool at the plate. He knows what he likes in razors too. His choice, the new Gillette Adjustable, of course. Like a lot of men, Harvey Keene found that comfort took on a brand new meaning once he tried the Gillette 195 adjustable razor. Why? Because here's a razor you adjust to match your own combination of skin and beard. That's right. There's an adjusting collar on the handle that you can set to any one of 9 different degrees of edge exposure or angle. A turn to the left gives you less blade edge. Turn the dial to the right and more blade edge is exposed. Men with light beards, heavy beards, tender skin, any combination in the book are positively guaranteed clean, long-lasting shaves or your money back. The Gillette Adjustable has made such a big hit with you fans that some stores are completely sold out. If you can't find one right off, ask your dealer to reserve one for you. You'll be getting a new shipment just as soon as production permits. The Gillette Adjustable costs only $1.95, complete with blue blade dispenser and travel case. Well, right at this minute, I'm going to turn a very exciting ball game of 1-1 over for the last half of this broadcast to my very good friend, the very popular announcer from KDKA in Pittsburgh here. Follows these Pirates, man and boy now, for more years than I expect he wants to admit. Bob Friend. Bob, come on in here, will you?
Thank you very much, Jack, and a wonderful call on the great first half of this ball game. And it looks as though now it's going to be the long ball or the explosiveness of it that will get it determined one way or the other. Wally Moon, who is
is not at all adverse to the long ball and who has found the left field wall at the Coliseum, a very friendly thing. It's only 250 feet away. Now goes to left field a lot for some of his homers and extra base hits. Will be the man. And we have a change in the umpiring. Joe Paparella of the American League will come to the plate, and Al Bartek will now move to the other spot on the diamond. And we'll move around with Bartek, Paparella, Donatelli, and Ed Runge, with Crawford and Rice on the lines. And we're waiting. The occasion of the delay is that they're waiting for Bartek to get rid of the equipment, as the National League always uses the inside chest protector, with the exception of Jocko Kamen. The American League goes for the inflated chest protector, and they're ready to go much quicker. So they're giving Al Bartek the opportunity to take it off. Wally Moon is one of the five fellas that ever hit a home run in the history of this game over the right field pavilion at Forbes Field. It's 300 feet down the immediate line. Falls out to better than 400 feet. It's a triple deck affair. While it's double deck in right field, it's exactly the same height as though it had been. They just don't have the triple deck all the way up there. But it's a good 90 to 100 feet. Here's Al Bartek. As he comes out, we'll be ready to go in a moment. You know, in just about a month from now, August 3rd to be exact, the second Major League All-Star Game of the Year will be played in the Los Angeles Coliseum. And I'm sure you fans out on the West Coast are anxious to see those great stars in action. Official ticket order forms are now available from the Dodgers at the Los Angeles Coliseum or any agency handling Dodger tickets. This is Wally Moon. He walked his first time up. Ryan Duren, the strong right-hander, a swing and a miss. Strike one. Moon, as we told you, one of the five men to ever hit a home run over the right field pavilion, the other being Bob Skinner of Pittsburgh and Ted Beard, Mickey Mantle of the Yankees in an exhibition, and Babe Ruth. The Babe was the first to do it. And there's quite a story about that. Wally Moon, nothing in one. Ryan Duren cocks that right arm, fires a fastball down inside. One and one. The Babe hit his last three home runs of his illustrious home run career, number 712 in the lower deck for Boston, 713 upper deck, and 714, the last he was to ever strike, went out of here over everything. One ball, one strike to Wally Moon. Duren comes down with a fast one. Moon, a check swing, fouls off to the left side down to the bleachers, so it's a count of one and two. The on-deck batter, catcher Dale Crandall. Scores tied at 1-1. The National League being in with a pair of hits, a homer by Matthews and a double by Banks. And the American League in with three hits, a home run by Kaline and singles then followed by Scowen and Calavito. No further damage. In the National League fifth inning, one ball to strike pitch from Ryan Duren. Left-hand batting Wally Moon watches one up around the bill of the cap, 2-2. In spring training a couple of years ago, Ryan Duren was pitching against the Milwaukee Braves, and Henry Aaron saw the first four warm-up pitches, three of which climbed the screen 100 feet behind home plate, and Aaron said, if it's all right with you, we'll not bat today. Walked right out of there. Two balls, two strikes to Moon. Duren a double pump this time. Hangs it outside, 3-2. Fastball that stayed away from left-hand batting Moon. Left fielder Minnie Minoso is playing a very shallow left field to Wally, and they give him a little bit of a gap in right center. As Kaline is off to his right, they don't figure that Moon will be able to pull any of Ryan Duren. But three balls and two strikes. The big pitch on the way. He struck him out. And it was a swinging strikeout. That's the second strikeout for Duren, the fifth against the National Leaguers this afternoon. Drysdale has racked up the best strikeout record for the Nationals when he navigated three perfect innings, striking out four along the route. Catcher Dell Crandall, strikeout victim in the second. Here's the pitch. Delivery, ground down, third base side, and Killebrew comes up on his first offering, throws on to first baseman Moose Cowan, and Crandall down, two away. The batter due up there is pitcher Lou Burdett. Nobody has yet made a move from the National League dugout, which here in Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. Here comes Lou, and is the only guy that runs right out of that dugout. He comes up the swing. Jack was telling you earlier about what a fine home run hitting pitcher Drysdale was. This boy is too. Lou Burdett. His father was the horseshoe pitching champion down in West Virginia in Nitro, and he taught Lou how to do it. Lou can throw 15, 16 ringers in a row. He's quite an all-around athlete and a great comedian. Straight out is the outfield to him. The gap in left center. Swing on the Duren curve, and he doesn't get it. 0-1. Score tied at 1-1 in the fifth inning. Two down, none on.
National League is the home team, and of course, wearing their white uniforms of their respective teams. Burdette in the big number 33, made famous in the World Series a couple of years ago, with three tremendous victories over the Yankees. Here's the 0-1 to Lou. Doran gets another fast one on the corner that Burdette can't even handle. And it's no strike, no balls, two strikes. Early win started for the American Leaguers. Went three, allowed the one run. It was Matthews' homer. Two hits. Second hit by Banks, a double harmless. And now it's Duran on. Here's the 0-2 to Burdette. Check swing foul off to the right, just guarding the plate with two strikes on him. Just flicked it off to the right side. We've told you from time to time the most ideal weather you could ever have for the All-Star game, and the luck of the All-Star game holds true. It's only been delayed once as a result of rain, and it was an official game in Philadelphia at the end of five. Other than that, they usually have a fine success here at Mid-July Classic. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Another swirling, quick swing off to the right, fouling it out of play. 0-2. Burnett just taking it back, putting it down into the strike zone, as Duran is in that strike zone and has in two strikes. So Lou's just plunking at it a little bit, hoping he can get a little better shot with some good wood. Two down, none on in the National fifth inning. 1-1 ball game. 0-2 pitch. Grounded down, foul at third. Al Barlick is now the third base umpire as Paparella has come to the plate. Donatelli of the National League and Ed Runge of the American League remain on the base pads with him. And on the foul line, John Rice of the American League on the right field line and Jack Crawford of the National League on the left field line. No balls, two strikes to Burdette. Duran works, and he got him on a strikeout as he jammed him right on the fifth. So it turned out three up, three down, and at the end of five, the score is American League 1, the National League 1. As a public service, Gillette brings you the following message. Traffic accidents continue to take a heavy toll of lives and property on our roads. And the problem of making the highways safe is everybody. Records show that where strong, sound traffic laws exist and are strictly enforced, traffic deaths have gone down. So get behind your public officials and law enforcement authorities and support them in tightening up the traffic laws in your community. Urge your family to observe all safety rules as drivers and as pedestrians. And remember, where traffic laws are obeyed and enforced, deaths go down. This is the National Baseball Writers Chapter of America, Mr. Lester Biedemann of the Pittsburgh Press, and the official scorer, along with Jack Hernan of the Post-Gazette and Ed Munzel of Chicago, have announced the paid attendance, 34,763. This is not the largest attendance available to Forbes Field, but under the laws of the Commissioner of Baseball, you do not sell the standing room only and or get people on the field. The only way they ever got up over 40,000 here at Forbes Field in Pittsburgh was by allowing them at one time to stand around the field and put in the ground rule double. That has not been in existence now for quite some time. This is the field where they played the last triple header of baseball, where the Bucks were scurrying to get through. This is the field where one of the most memorable World Series events ever took place in 1925 in the seventh game against Washington with Walter Johnson pitching in a scene that perhaps has never been seen before and never will be again in a downright driving rainpour. Bases loaded, bingo, double, and they beat Johnson in the center. Here's Minnie Minoso. He's 0 for 2. Fly to center, and then Burdette faced him in the fourth, got him on a roll out to second, jammed him on the inside corner with a call strike. 0-1. Harry Kraft of Kansas City at first base, Tony Cuccinello of the White Sox at third. Minoso, Nellie Fox, and Al Kaline, the trio that Burdette will go to here in the sixth. Minoso pops a foul off the right side. I don't think there's room for Crandall. There is not. It's up over the National League dugout. No balls, two strikes. Pittsburgh writers and fans have had their wonderful, wonderful times with Casey Stengel, having seen him around here and listened to him. Stengelisms are famous now, I suppose, the world over. And he got off a couple of buttes in the press conference yesterday. Minnie Minoso, the American League's left fielder, 0 for 2. And the count of 0-2 on him, sidearm delivery sent in by Burdette, fouled away.
The attendance here today at 34,763 will not, of course, approach the record attendance of 69,831, which was set in Cleveland in 1935, which may be eclipsed August 3rd on the West Coast in the Coliseum at Los Angeles. It, of course, having a greater capacity. No balls and two strikes. I'd like to remind all you fans out on the West Coast, application forms for the second All-Star game available at the Dodger ticket office. No balls, two strikes to Minnie Minoso. Jack Brickhouse was pointing out earlier, a lot of the records with regard to the number of games in which you've competed will go by the wayside. There's Blue Lightning to Minoso, right down the middle. Came Burdett with his fastball for strike three call. So that's the sixth strikeout. And Burdett picks up his second. That'll bring up Nellie Fox, who struck out and fouled out the third. As Jack pointed out, if they start playing these games in pairs, the records of like being in one like usual at 16 or so will mean nothing. Six strikeouts now on each side. Because you can, in 5 years, you can play in 10 games very quickly, obviously. Nellie Fox struck out, bats him left-handed, swings golf and shot on the right side. Temple charges, takes the bat hop, and throws on to Cepeda, and there are two away. This is the American League sixth inning, two down and none on, and the score is tied up at 1-1 if you're just sitting in. Eddie Matthews' long ball went out of the ballpark off early win in the first inning, and Kaline got it all even with a blast to left center in the fourth. Here he is now. He struck out in the first, then homered over the 406 mark in left center field in the fourth inning. Ground ball down third, and Matthews on a bobble. And it gets away from him, goes into short left, and Kaline is around first. The ball is recovered quickly by Wally Moon. And it's an error. Charged to Eddie Matthews, and it'll be the first error of the ballgame. Kaline aboard on a miscue at third, and that'll bring up the slugging first baseman and outfielder of the New York Yankees, Moose Cowan. Cowan on the year at 293, 15 homers, 56 RBIs. Rolled to second and singled out to left. Milwaukee Braves have four of their great players going in this one right now. Here's the pitch. There's a delivery outside of ball. Breaking ball that missed the outside corner to the right-hand batting Moose. Matthews at third. Burdett and Crandall the battery, and the right fielder, the incomparable Henry Aaron. Sixth inning for the American Leaguers, who've won the last two games of the All-Star Classic. Burdett checks, delivers. There's a drive into right center. Going to get in there for the base hit. Coming over fast to get that ball is Willie Mays. He's going to take a shot at that runner coming over to third. A slide safe. It's a close play. As Kaline tries to go on Willie, and it was bang, bang at third. He's in there, however, under the slide. Gowron got a looper over the head of Temple into right center field. And Kaline, it appeared to me, hesitated just a little bit coming around second, and then really turned on the speed, and Willie's throw was right to Matthews, but he unslid into the throw. So we now have Rocky Colavito up there for the American Leaguers. He struck out in the second, he singled up the middle in the fourth, and the American League mounts another offensive threat against Lou Burdett. Two on, and two out. Here's the pitch. Big chop hit on the left side. Ernie Banks waits for the short hop, flips it on to Johnny Temple, and they force Scourin. And on the fourth out, the side is retired. No run, one hit, one error, and two left. And we go at the at the middle of the sixth inning. The score is American League One and the National League One. Well, young Louis Aparicio has been certainly a whale of a man out here in this ballgame today. And you know, this young glove whiz was the unanimous choice of the New York Yankees to hold down the all-star shortstop position. And good reason. He's robbed them of many a hit. Flashy in the field, Aparicio is also the league fashion plate. He always looks top-notch. And a Gillette man? Why, Louis tells us he was a booster of ours way back when he lived in Venezuela. And he's stayed with Gillette Blue Blades ever since. Little wonder, Gillette Blue Blades have the keenest edges ever put on steel. Smooth mirror finished edges that give you shave after shave with ease and comfort. And you save money, too. Gillette Blue Blades are double-edged for extra convenience and economy. So, you change them less than half as often, use them more than twice as long as single-edged blades. When you ask for Gillette Blue Blades, get them in the handy zip-out dispenser that has a compartment on the back for the easy disposal of used blades. The cost, $20 for $0.98, $10 for $0.49. The American League has now swung Mickey Mantle to center field. As he goes in place of Al Kaline, Mickey Mantle, with a bad leg, but the New York Yankee speed demon goes to center field. Vic Power has not been put in first. We're getting a double check. We're trying to find out who's been put in at first. The plate umpire, Ed Runge, or rather Joe Paparella, has come on to say that there is an incorrect statement made as to who's on. Musial is going to be in here to bat in the National League sixth inning, and this puts him up there for 16 times that he's been in the Classic, and he'll bat in place of Temple. Harvey Keene is gone to center. It is not Mickey Mantle, so we'll have to go from the direction on the press box. There's delivery to Musial inside. Stan Musial batting for John Temple. Temple giving way to Big Stan. From Denora, Pennsylvania, hard by the city of Pittsburgh, Stan the Man. Great St. Louis Cardinal ball player. Ryan Doran works to him upstairs, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. The press box, who had originally announced, farther our right, that it would be Mantle in center field, has now corrected, and it'll be Harvey Keene, teammate of Al Kaline. Musial hits a pop-up on the right side, dropping back first baseman for it. And we'll have to check who that. It should be Vic Power, who has also gone in place of Scourin. Anyhow, it's a pop-up to first. Batter is Marity Matthews, a home run in two at-bats. In the first, over the right field screen. And in the third, fouled out to first. One down in the National League 6, high from Ryan Doran, who after he pitches just bounces around out there on the mound like he's on a pogo stick. Eddie Sawyer, one of the few members of the Phi Beta Kappa Society, is coaching at first, and of course the manager of the Phils, over to third, Danny Murtaugh. One ball, no strike pitch to Matthews. Started to go for the fastball late off, it had cost him 1-1. Henry Aaron is on deck. There are all sorts of opportunities for Stengel to place these batters, Keene and Power, in the batting order, so we'll not worry about just where they are yet until they come up. There's a ball upstairs, 2-1 Eddie. Matthews on the year, 25 homers, 59 home runs. Five of the home runs he has struck in this ballpark this year. This has been one of his favorite targets, much to the lament of Pittsburgh Pirate followers. Two balls and a strike. The outfield shades him around to the right. They give him a big gap in left center field. Durant's fastball hit foul back on the netting here, and a count of 2-2. Ryan almost overpowered Eddie with a good riding fastball that came in there. Stuck him out swinging. Number 7 goes into the book. And here is Henry Aaron, who struck out and lined a short in his first two trips. The Milwaukee Braves, Don Farrell of the right field, and one of the most fantastic batters in baseball modern annals, stayed way up over the 400 mark, and somebody figured it out that if he went to the plate a number of times just a month ago, as he did last year, finished out the season that way, and only went 1-for-4, he'd end up hitting .322. There's Henry Aaron, a drive over the shortstop position into left field. Manoso, a slight bobble, but picks it up and holds it to a single. Henry Aaron has picked up the third hit of the afternoon for the National League, and here's the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays. Willie lined to the pitcher and struck out. Ever a threat. One of the most fabled of all ball players, Willie Mays. Throw over to first base. No damage. Henry Aaron staying in a little close over there with Big Power holding tight. Ryan Doran checks Henry Aaron. In the 1-1 game, the pitch is top foul. Back out of play. 0-1. Henry Aaron was a key figure in the now famous Harvey Haddix perfect ball game when he inadvertently strolled off second, thinking that Adcock had only hit an inside ball inside the park in the 13th inning, and in so doing he walked by Adcock and it nullified a home run. No balls and a strike. Here's the pitch. There's a snatch and one hop off the chest of Aparicio. Picks it out, gets it on in time for the force play to Fox. And a nice play by Aparicio holding that ball in front of him. So it's no runs, a hit, no errors, and one left. At the end of six, it's tied up 1-1. Les Biedemann. 35,277, and the correction occurs as a result of those not seeing the direct ticket sale. 35,277. The original attendance figures of 34,763 were given as a result of the turnstile count. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the fellow who has rocked the baseball world, Elroy Fate. And it is fantastic that his earned run average is 0.83. Elroy has been in 54 innings, has won 12 and lost none, has not lost a ball game since May 30, 1958, has won 17 consecutive games. So Elroy Faith goes in there, and Bill Mazeroski goes to second base. Triando's up. He's 0 for 2. Elroy delivers up there the ball. Triando's in the fourth inning, as Jack Brickhouse pointed out, hit a shot into right center field, and only the great running speed of Henry Aaron flagged it down to prevent a couple of runs coming in. Triando hit one off the end of the bat's foul. Billy Mazeroski is in at second base in place of John Temple, Musial having batted for him. Elroy Faith works to Triando. This fella throws the forkball, a good slider, good curveball, and a fine fastball. One ball, one strike to Gus Triandos, the Baltimore catcher. There's a ground ball, hits down toward third. Big hop up Eddie Matthews, sends it across to first baseman Cepeda, and one is away in the American League 7. Here's third baseman Harmon Killebrew hitting at 271 for the season. 28 homers and 70 RBIs. He's the major league leader in home runs. He's 0 for 2 this afternoon, having flied to center and rolled out to second base. Score tied at 1-1 in the American League 7th inning. Faith forkball team swing on this big strike. He missed it by a foot. That forkball comes up most elusively and then drops about a foot, foot and a half. Just seems to die out there somewhere. Breaking ball outside. One ball, one strike. Lou Burdette went three innings. Is charged with one run. Four hits. Picked up two strikeouts. Did not walk anybody. Here's a 1-1 pitch. A strike call to him, 1-2. Total net after taxes here will be $194,303.46 on the record attendance at Fort Field. Still a real strikeout. He looked at the yellow base forkball, and he did not see it. Elroy is a carpenter in the offseason. Here is Louis Aparicio. He flied the right, flied the left. Two down in the American League 7, short tied at 1-1. Elroy faced the right-hander. He is only 5'8", weighs 150 pounds. Curveball inside, one ball, a strike. Jim Bunning has finished warming up down the left field line for the American Leaguers. Duran having completed his green scorer training. Foul back by Aparicio. Seven strikeouts for both sides, so we're getting closer and closer to a record for an All-Star Classic. One ball, one strike to Louis Aparicio. Two down and none on in the American League 7th inning. There's an attempt for the bunny, missed it. 1-2. Tried to bunt for the base hit. Drew Matthews in very quickly from third. But Aparicio didn't get onto that ball. 1-2. ball, two strike pitch. Just low, 2-2, breaking ball. You're just tuning in. Matthews put the National League in front in the first inning with a home run against Early Wynn. And a home run by Al Kaline of Detroit tied it in the fourth off Lou Burdett. Two balls, two strikes, Fabricio. Stuck him out. Three up and three down. And so at the middle of the seventh inning, the score is American League 1, the National League 1. You know, when the Gillette Safety Razor Company announces a new and better shaving instrument, you can be sure this means greater comfort to millions of men. However, Gillette knows from experience that many of you fans are so fond of your present Gillette that if you had to, you'd want to replace it with one exactly the same. That's why, for just $1, you can still get a Gillette Super Speed Razor. And they still come in three models, light, regular, or heavy. The light is for men with lighter beards, regular for average skin and beard, and heavy for men with dense, hard-to-shave beards. At the price, just $1, you can't buy a finer shaving instrument. So don't worry. If you ever want to replace your present Super Speed Razor with another just like it, they'll be available at a store near you. As a reminder, it only costs $1 for the razor, Gillette Blue Blade dispenser, and handsome travel case. Elroy Faith came through with two strikeouts, which is, ladies and gentlemen, has been his great pitch on his forkball. And the fact that at 5'8", he is a fellow who gives you all sorts of motion out there and comes right down with a pitch that elusively and bafflingly breaks down and in to a right-hand batter sometimes and then down and into a left-hand batter. He just throws the forkball hoping to get him out of any particular type of jam. And, of course, he's ideally situated, and everything about him is perfect for relief pitching. Well, when he comes in normally, the Bucks are in jam. And he gets you to hit that ball on the ground, either strikes you out or gets you to pop it into a double play. Now then, Big Jim Bunning of the Detroit Tigers is coming in. His slider, got him by Whitlow White, by the way, who's now the best pitching coach for the Milwaukee Braves, made him a real major league pitcher. He no-hit the Red Sox July 20th last year, you might recall. Jim Bunning now pitching of the Detroit Tigers has won 7 and lost 6, has an ERA of 4.72. Boston's Frank Malzahn has come in to play at third. Bunning is in to do the pitching. And we'll give it a rundown on everybody else. There's Banks, long drive, left field, going way back. Manny Minoso, pitching goodbye, it's off the wall. Extra bases for Bingo Banks as he bombs it high up against the Stranger. There's a light standard out there. Is about 375 feet from the home plate section. And he bombed it right through the base of it and just missed the home run by inches and now has checked in with his second double. And that's the fifth hit of the ball game. And here is Orlando Cepeda, who is 0 for 2. He popped it short and grounded in to a double play. High fly ball in the infield on the left side. Malzahn and shortstop Aparicio. Aparicio makes the catch in behind the pitching mound. So we have one out. Now we have Wally Moon, the left fielder, who walked and struck out. Whitey Ford of the New York Yankees is now throwing in the American League bullpen. Wally Moon is up there. Here's the pitch. The curve is high ball one. Banks led off with a double in the second, and Cepeda popped the short on the first pitch in the second inning. And Lightning struck twice in the same way in the seventh. Double Banks lead it off. Cepeda went on the first pitch and hit it straight up the chute for shortstop Aparicio. One ball and no strikes to left-hand batting Wally Moon. Score tied 1-1 in the National League seventh. Time call is Triando, and Bunning want to talk it over. Ryan Duren, in his three innings, no runs, allowed only one hit, struck out four, and walked but one batter. One ball and no strikes to left-hand batting Moon. They shade him a little bit around to the right. Fastball down underneath the knees, two balls and no strikes. Ernie Banks, who does not specialize in the long, high fly ball home run, but more in the low, screeching shot, narrowly missed one. as he hit the top of the light standard screen, and it came back in the park to remain in play. Ball three inside the moon. Bell Candle is on deck, and now we're to that point of the ball game where both sides, manager Brett Haney of the National League champion Milwaukee Braves and of the National American League champion Casey Stengel of the Indians, they're thrown on a 3-0, and fouls it out of play, 3-1. So we're going on the first ones here on some of them for the National League. The strategy is, and they gave him the green light to go on the 3-0. If the pitch was in there, they thought he might be able to give it a ride. Three balls and a strike to Wally Moon. We're down to that point, though, where the managers will be doing a lot of shuffling around. 3-1 pitch. Moon flicks a foul out of play to the left. 3-2. Jim Bunning, regular season of 20 games, started 18. It pitched 124 innings for the Detroit Ball Club, winning 7, losing 6. And from the standpoint of the American League pitching stars, had the highest earned run average of all that are here with a 4.72. But that's respectful in this day and age of a long ball and lightning-like shots out of the ballpark at any moment. 3-2 to Moon. The pitch. There's strike three call. The ball is dropped by Triandoso. Now he tags Wally, and that's strikeout number 8 against the National League. Have 16 strikeouts in the ballgame. And this will send brother Jack Brickhouse to the record books again for us while we double-check everything. As now catcher Del Candle, who struck out and walked, rolled a third, is the batter. They're going to play him around to the left. Pitch. Up the middle. It's a base hit. And here comes Ernie Banks around third. Here's the scoop by Harvey Keene. The throw. It's not in time. There goes the runner. Candle to second base. The National League in front, 2-1. Just reached out and tapped that little shot into center field. And Banks scores the lead run, and now Bill Mazeroski, the great second baseman of the Pittsburgh Pirates, is the batter. Mazeroski in the regular year at 267. 5 home runs, 34 RBIs. Jack pointed out a while back, he goes at a 1-for-4 clip, but bingo. When you need the hit, that's when the 1-out-of-4 comes up, and it did here. Mazeroski drive, left field. It's going to be a base hit. Here comes Kendall around third to score. Maz is trying to go to second. The run gets in there, slide. He's out at second base. It's a single, the run count. Fielding play by Minoso. The throw went on into Fox at second base. Crandall scores from second. And it's a 2 runs on 3 hits, no errors, and nobody left. At the end of 7, the score is the National League 3, the American League 1. 2. Peabody. Holiday. Ottawa 79. Paper Mace writes every time. Old handprints, fingerprints, grease or grime. Guaranteed not to skip, slip, slide, or sputter. The new Holiday even writes over butter. You can take a stick of butter. Now listen here. And on a piece of paper, you can make it clear. With an ordinary pen, you can try to write a line, but you'll skip over the butter every time. Then pick up the Paper Mace Holiday pen and go through the butter test. Once again, watch it right through the butter without a slip. This new Paper Mate, guaranteed not to skip. New Paper Mate, Holiday, $1.79. All right, we go now to the American League 8th inning, and Frank Maldon of Boston stands in. Maldon in the regular season, hitting at 278, 10 home runs, 39 RBIs. He's a right-hand batter. Roy Face delivers outside and low, ball one. This game now sets up as Roy Face's game to win and Jim Bunning's to lose, as it now stands. No National League pitcher, as Jack points out, has issued a walk so far. There's a pop. This is behind second base. Mazeroski goes off to his right, dances around underneath, one out. Ash National League has not won the last couple of ball games, leading in this one 3-1, as now Manny Minoso, who is 0 for 3, flied to center, went out second to first, and struck out. All six pitchers have struck out somebody in this ball game. Popping up is Minoso, left side Crandall looking for it. Stays with that dog, and boom, two down. And Roy Bates is showing everyone in Pittsburgh and coast to coast, as you listen to this broadcast and around the world and in Canada, why he's one of the great pitchers of the major leagues in relief. Nellie Fox is up there. He struck out, fouled out to third, and rolled out to second. National League leads the American League 3-1 in the 26th renewal of the All-Star Classic at Forbes Field. Down inside the ball as Elroy jammed him with a fast slider. Little Roy Bates with a heart as big as a church, 5'8", 150 pounds, has topped the American Leaguers cold thus far. Next delivery, right up the middle, almost T. Horn. Elroy goes on into center field for the base hit. So no sooner said what he was doing, and bingo, Nelly gets a base hit. And that came awfully close to catching him on the bare hand. So that's the fifth hit for the American League. And now Harvey Keene gets his first shot at it. He's the center fielder playing out here for the Detroit Tigers. 356 on the regular season. He has three homers, 33 RBI. Right-hand batter takes the ball from Roy Bates. National League 3. The American League 1 in the top half of the eighth. On a brilliant sunshiny afternoon from the city of Pittsburgh. The 1-0, bat handle foul on a play to the left. 1-1. Ball and one strike, two down, and Nellie Fox at first on a base hit, his first and fourth bat, a single right up the middle. And it had to be pretty well struck to get by Face because Elroy is one of the better fielding pitchers in the game. Pretty deep in a batter's box is Harvey Keene. Football swung on a strike two. Took the big swing and nothing was there. One ball, two strikes. For lack of something better to do in the offseason, began to accuse Elroy of throwing that spit ball. There's a delivery low, ball 2-2. When Rigg was asked why, he said, well, I just wanted to see if I could do something to get this guy ruffled up a bit. But nothing seems to bother Elroy. He really doesn't know who's batting. He just has certain way he pitches, and that's it. Two balls and two strikes. Was moved right over to right field, but Jimmy Dykes and clicked immediately over there. 2-2 pitch, and there's a ground ball. Bat handle foul down third. 2-2. The Tigers off to a very bad start, as everyone knows by now, and Jimmy Dykes, who used to be the coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates, was then asked if he would take over the managerial reins of the Detroit team and zoomed them into contention, not overnight, because when you're about 0-15, you don't zoom anywhere overnight. 2-2 to Keene, low outside, ball 3. 3 balls, 2 strikes. Joe Paparella, the American League, calling the balls and strikes. Al Barlick had the front side. And the game that was tied up at 1-1 broke open in the seventh when Banks doubled, his second double, and Crandall singled him home, and Mazzarotti singled. Runner breaks, and it's ball 4. That's the first walk given up by the National League pitching this afternoon. And brings up the Moose. Gowan. No, take that back. Brings up Power. Rick Power of Kansas City. Of Cleveland. Vic was at Kansas City. He's hitting at 301. He's been moved around quite a bit, and he has 9 homers, 36 RBIs. He's a very fine baseball player. Low ball 1. Another great relief hurler. When you speak of fine relief hurlers, the Chicago Cubs have a pair in both Elston and Henry. And it's 2-1. Buck Daly is the American leaguer up Kansas City. He's 0 the left-hander. They started off this eighth inning where retired Malzone and Minoso with very little trouble. Then Fox singled, he walked Keene. Power gets a drive into center field for the base hit. Here comes Willie Mays, scooping for the ball, and will make no play on Nellie Fox, and will throw the ball into back to short, and the American League digs back into the ball game at 3-2. In favor of the Nationals now by only one. No, that score on fourth base, something the National League teams have not been able to do. And here comes Ted Williams. For the right fielder of the Indians, Rocky Colavito. Ted Williams hitting at 217. Five homers and 18 RBIs, but don't let that fool you. The incomparable Splendid Splinter. Ted Williams. Bengal makes his move. Two on, two out. 3-2, the National League in the eighth. As the ball game now starts to turn into a wild and holy affair, it promised it would be. So that's the pitch. Ball outside to Williams, who switches around in that plate and looks every inch the athlete up there. No, one ball, no strike pitch. Low ball, two. That's been in every All-Star game that's ever been played, except, of course, his rookie year and those years in which he missed due to being in the service. This fella had totally eclipsed the great record. The Pirate shortstop, Archie Vaughn, hung up for home runs when he just powdered him out of everything. 2-0 pitch. Ball free to Williams. Roy Bay is running into trouble. Ted Williams. American League in the top of the eighth with two on and two out, trailing 3-2. Williams batting for Colavito. Roy Face on the 3-0. Psycho. Ted, you might recall, broke his shoulder at Comiskey Park in the All-Star game in 1950 when he went back to catch a fly ball hit by the great Ralph Kiner of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Tied it up, and Shane Deese won it. Ball to Williams. Throw it. Bases loaded. That is the second walk. That moves Keene over to third. Puts Power up at second and brings up Baltimore's Gus Biondos, who's 0 for 3. Unless we get a pinch hitter. Stengel walking up and down. They've called time. Looks like we're going to get a runner for Ted Williams. It's going to be Gil MacDougall and the Yankees to run for Ted Williams. MacDougall, the winner of the Lou Gehrig Fidel with Beta Memorial Award, is the athlete who typifies most wonderfully sportsmanship and everything you'd ever want to be. Triando's up and takes a strike from North Bay. Bases loaded for the American League. They have Harvey Keene at third, Vic Power at second, and MacDougall running for Williams at first. The outfield is shading Triandos around to the left. There's a foul back on two. Triandos in the regular season has 20 homers and 50 RBIs. And he's playing a tough ballpark for home runs in Baltimore. He's a big fella. And he's the guy that has caught the dazzling assortment of knuckleballs sent in by Hoyt Wilhelm. No balls, two strikes to big Gus Biondo. Base runners lead away as little Roy Face swings into the windup. Around comes the arm, in comes the pitch, and it's a foul back out of play. 3-2, the National League in front in the eighth inning. The American League strikes back with a run when, with two out, Nellie Fox singled up the middle. Harvey Keene and Walk and Power singled in the middle, and in came Fox to score. And Ted Williams, the batter for Colavito, drew a walk, and the bases are loaded. It's nothing into the Gus Biondo. Now Roy in a long there. Now ready to go. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Ground ball inside there. Fair ball. Extra base is coming up. It's going to score at least a pair of runs. The ball comes out to the left field of Waldemar. Shoots it on in. It's a double for Gus Fiondo on a shot inside third in the National League. Now trails 4-3. Harvey Keene comes in to score. And Vic Power scores from second base. Fiondo, the catcher, double palm, a pair of runs. And Roy Hamey comes out now to talk. As the American League has done to Elroy what no one was able to do in the National League. In addition to which, Elroy walked a pair of batters. And when you walk a couple of guys and you're playing in an All-Star game, you usually get yourself into trouble. And Fiondos, with the bases loaded, flashed a double just inside third that sent McDougal over to third after the other two runners, Keene and Power, had scored. So, three runs in here in the inning with two out, and it's now 4-3 in the eighth. The American League, and they have Daly and Whitey Ford warming up. Reynolds is coming out. We're going to wait to see what they're going to do. We're going to get a pitcher coming in. Well, I get a look at him for a moment. I thought it was John Elston originally that had been warming up, but he walked in like he might be John Antonelli of the San Francisco Giants. From what I've seen, it's John Antonelli. It is John Antonelli of the San Francisco Giants. All right, let's pause 30 seconds for station identification.
WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. Now, as always, Saratoga Fishy leads the league in sales. Small wonder, because only the genuine Saratoga Fishy with a famous yellow label has that extra dry fishy tang. Assures you a perfect mixed drink every time. Friends, don't be misled by imitations that taste like plain club soda. Demand the genuine Saratoga Fishy.
Get the yellow label.
Has pitched 1 2/3 innings and is now the pitcher of record and is replaced by John Antonelli, the savvy southpaw of the San Francisco Giants. John Antonelli, with an earned run average of 2.66, has won 12 and lost 4. And but for Elroy Pace's 12-0 record, would be the top hurler from standpoint of record in the National League. Now, Reynolds is in the game and out. He was a left-hand batter. So cash him and put in Roy Sievers, the home run hitting slugger of the Washington Senators. As Killebrew, who had given away earlier to Malzahn. Malzahn is the man that is being hit for, I do believe, unless, and we'll have to await development, unless the pitcher was put into that spot. But for the moment, we'll go with Sievers. Sievers, Roy Sievers in there of Washington, hitting at 236. He has 9 homers, 21 RBIs. He's a right-hand batter. Roy Faith is charged with 3 runs and is responsible for Triandos at second should he score. And now Triandos is being run for by Mickey Mantle of the Yankees. Mickey Mantle has gone in to run at second base for Gus Fiondo as Stengel shoots the bench and the all-out fireworks here on the eighth inning. So, Mantle runs for Fiondo and changes galore are in order. Antonelli works down to Sievers inside the ball. Sievers in 57 hit 42 home runs, knocked in 114. So he led the league. He's not off to that kind of a start this year, but has had the great pickup of Allison and Killebrew helping him. There's a strengthening in there by John Antonelli. One ball, one strike. Antonelli in the regular season for the Giants. Been in 21 ball games, started 20. Winning 12, losing 4. Curves down inside, ball two, 2 balls in a strike. McDougal is at third. He ran base for Ted Whiting. On at second base is Mickey Mantle, running for Castriando. And Seavers is up there batting. Eighth man to get up in this inning. Pitch is a ball three. Three balls and a strike. Missed on the outside corner. Two men down by Roy Face on the American League side of the eighth when they started to peck away. And before you knew it, had themselves three runs. 3-1 pitch to Seavers. All four, and they're loaded up. That's the third walk, and all three walks in this inning. Now, Louis Aparicio is due to bat. And is Aparicio being called out? Wait till we see. Stengel is making a ton of moves. Started to tell you earlier, Stengel, you know, really flabbergasted the city of Pittsburgh when he said, now this early win is rather aged, but still has good stuff. And I must say he's experienced, which I don't think will make him frightened when he sees all those National League names. So I pick him when Wilhelm goes six on Sunday, so I can't pitch him with his own catcher. Triando's catching him like I want, but this win has been around. That's what Stengel said at the press conference last night, which by the time it was unraveled by everyone concerned, turned out to be that he was going to start early win. Sherm Lawler of the White Sox is coming out. He's a catcher. Sherm hitting at 273, 12 homers, 49 RBIs on the regular season. He's the ninth man to get up. He's the ninth man to get up in this inning. Bases are loaded for the second time in the inning. McDougald on third. Mickey Mantle on second. Roy Seavers is on at first, and John Sherman Lawler up there, right hand batter. Swing ground ball down for third. Up comes Matthews off the wrist and steps on third for the shortstop. That ball came right up his wrist, but he held on to it. And so the National League gets out of it. It showed three runs, three hits, no errors, and three left. And so at the middle of the eighth, the score is the American League 4, the National League 3. Well, you know, we just watched Casey Stengel make a ton of moves. And we'll have to watch him again after this inning to see how many changes he makes. Casey's kind of famous for the way he can switch around his players and come up with a winner. The old professor has just recently changed razors, too. Always a Gillette man, he's now using that new Gillette 195 adjustable. Here's what he says about it. I thought I was getting the finest shaves possible until I tried this adjustable. Now I'm more of a Gillette fan than ever. Be sure you see this amazing new razor because never before has there been a shaving instrument like it. You set an adjusting collar on the handle to match your skin and beard. You can turn, you know, to 9 different degrees of edge exposures and angles. Within this range, there's a setting that delivers you clean shaves, fast shaves, with comfort that's nothing short of sensational. Gillette guarantees that or your money back. The Gillette 195 adjustable is so popular, many stores are out of stock. So if you've been having trouble finding it, order one now, won't you, from your dealer? You'll be receiving a new supply as soon as production permits. Only $1.95 complete with blue blade dispenser and travel case. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a few changes have been made, and Whitey Ford of the Yankees is on as a pitcher. And Mickey Mantle's in the outfield. We'll have to make these changes for you. Whitey Ford is pitching. That we know. Lawler is catching. McDougald has gone to short. Mantle's in center field. Nope, check that. He's in right. Mantle's in right. Now, if you're trying to keep the score where they're back, don't worry about it yet. We'll get you straightened out on that. We go to the National League 8, and Ken Boyer is going to bat. He's bat in place of our pitcher, John Antonelli, I believe, who was in the number one spot, Mazeroski. Casey Stengel's got the plate umpire, Joe Paparella, wrapped up in a long monologue down there. He's got a center fielder in right and a right fielder in center. Jack, you see him all the time in Chicago. I presume these maneuvers are no strange thing at all in Chicago fandom.
Oh, nothing at all. Anything Casey does, including inserting himself, wouldn't surprise us.
Well, here we are looking at it with Mantle in right field and Keene in center and Ken Boyer batting and Whitey Ford on the hill, and the curve is in for the call strike. We'll catch you up on every record in the book when we get the opportunity. Cub off one strike. Little left-hander fires down outside for the ball. Whitey Ford of the Yankees has an earned run average of 3.20. Has won 8 and lost 5 for the champion in 1959. The 1-1 pitch is swung on by Boyer and missed. 1-2. This now sets it up where Bunning is the pitcher of record, and Faith is the pitcher of record for the losing side, just for the moment. Here's the 1-2. Curveball bounces away from Lawler. 2-2. Last half of the eighth inning. The National League trailing now 4-3. Ken Boyer up there to see what he can do. Try to lead off base hit. 2-2. Ground foul down third. Boyer, you know, is the fine third baseman of the St. Louis Cards. He's hitting at 304 currently, 16 homers and 56 RBIs. For a big man, he's perhaps one of the fastest men in all of baseball for his size. Great hands, great range at third. 2-2 pitch by Ford. Check swing on a fastball that took off. Tailed out there. Looked like the screwball, but Matt Allen tells us that his fastball that tails is not the screwball, although it reacts like it. 3-2. Pitch to Boyer. There's a chop off the left side, and it's on field in the left center for the base hit. McDougal going over from short, couldn't get it. Center fielder Keene comes up, flags it down, and Boyer has a base hit. Well, now let's see. Remember, the National League is the home team. Their opportunity is always to have the last at bat. Dick Grote is coming out. Grote for Pittsburgh is coming out, and he's be not only a fine bunter, but in the event that they get two strikes to him, he's one of the better hit-and-run players of the game. Richard Marl Grote, who had to make the tough decision for him whether he would be a professional baseball player or a professional basketball player. And at Duke University, was one of the most fabulous basketball players of all time, he's a Pittsburgh boy. He bats for Matthews. Dick Grote. Hitting at 270. 5 homers, 36 RBIs. There's the bunt. Whitey Ford comes up, throws it on to first base Powers, who makes the play there. On the sacrifice, Boyer's in at second. You know, was the roommate of the vice president's brother, Ed Nixon, down at Duke. So he and Dick, the vice president and Dick Grote, have had a wonderful time visiting here in Pittsburgh. Here's Henry Aaron up, thumping the ball for a single in the sixth inning. The National League needs the run. They're down by 1-4-3 in the eighth. Whitey Ford delivers, fastball low, 1 ball, no strike. Time call, Lawler wants to go out and talk it over now with Whitey Ford. Jim Bunning pitched one inning. Gave up 2 runs. And the ones that put him in the soup, and then saw his team come back for enough runs to give him the blue chips for the moment. Gave up 3 hits. Struck out 1. Did not walk anybody. Foul back by Henry Aaron. 1-1. A real tremendous threat at the plate is the right fielder of the Milwaukee Braves, Henry Aaron. A lunging, rattlesnake type of hitter. Has tremendous risk. He hits the ball that'll start out with a shortstop will leap for it many times, and the left fielder will watch it go high over the wall.
pitch. That kind. 1-1 delivery outside. Two balls and a strike. With one out of the score, American League 4, the National League 3. Poyer is at second base with a tying run, and Henry Aaron is working against Whitey Ford of the Yankees. Buddy Daly of Kansas City warming up again. Secretary of the ball game, traveling secretary, and the secretary for the National and the American League, Robert T. Wright of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's down below checking on the comfort of all the fans. There's a high chopper off the left side. In there, takes that. And Boyer comes on around third, and it's a single for Henry Aaron. That's all five. With a ball that had eyes on it. It was one of those plays that sneaked by everybody. As the ball players say, anything that gets by a pitcher and two infielders, and just every time anybody goes at it, why, it seems to run away from you. And that's what that did. Here's Mays up. He's 0 for 3. Whitey Ford works the curve into the dirt of ball. 4-4 ball game and a real filler. As these two great squads from the American and the National League put on a devastating game of home runs and running and thrills galore. The pitch swings by Willie, trying to put it out of the ballpark, 1-1. A home run by Kaline, as an example, and the one by Matthews marked the first two homers in the last three games. And as Jack points out and did earlier, no extra base hits at all last year. So here we're in with everything. Willie Mays, the batter. Henry Aaron off first. Big power holding pitch. Outside. Ball two. Two balls and a strike. Down in the right field bullpen. Boyer's warming up. Two balls and a strike. There's Mays. The drive. Deep right center field. Way back to Harvey Keene. He can't catch it. Two balls at the 436 mark. Henry Aaron's got a score. Willie Mays is around second. Willie comes to third. A moving triple to right center field for Mays. Pitched a perfect three innings.
just been announced, and Jack leans over to tell me about it. There have been six players that have been batting in the seventh position in the lineup for the American League. And I want to tell you, you can understand easily how. They just keep, their single keeps firing them from one end of the spot to the other. All right, now Willie Mays is at third, and let's see what the American League infield will do. It is Mal Zone. Third, he's at tight. MacDougall in short, Botch at second, and Power at first, and they're all up. The right-hand batting Ernie Banks, who has two hits today, both doubles. Scored a run. That was back in the seventh inning. The long ball has been used by the National League to forge into the lead, and Willie Mays, ever a threat, dances around at third. Pitch to Banks. Knuckleball, strike call. Balls and one strike from Bud Daly, who's the fifth pitcher for the American League All-Stars this afternoon. Daly checks on Willie Mays at third. Infield still up, outfield around to the left to Banks. It's a 5-4 ball game, last half of the eighth. Here's the pitch. Knuckleball hit foul. Willie went after that butterfly and just got a ticking piece of it. Ernie Banks kicking away at a knuckleball that danced every old play. And now the fellow who is the owner of the most famous of them all, Hoyt Wilhelm of Baltimore, is warming up down the left field bullpen. Looks like Elston up again for Chicago's Cubs. Way out the right field line and the National League bullpen. No balls, two strikes. Pitch to Banks, and there's a foul coming back out of play. Nothing into it. Jack just points out on the bench that Barr is the only one left for the American League, excepting two pitchers. One of them, Wilhelm, warming up right now. The other's got to be Billy Pierce of Chicago. Well, nobody can say Stengel didn't use his staff. No balls, two strikes. There's a knuckler that Lawler just went up and batted it down like he'd caught a fly. Just trying to keep it in the park. Used to be, of course, a great argument about whether pitchers could make the ball curve and what have you. They never, ever tried it. Just prove it. Or prove it when they had the knuckleball working. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Banks strikes out on it. Now that is the ninth strikeout against the National League. Coupled with the American League 8, that's 17 strikeouts, too shy of the All-Star record for strikeouts by two clubs, and that was set in a 14-inning ballgame. Here is Orlando Cepeda. Henny is 0-3. Popped to short, hit into a double play, and popped up to short. The infield now retreats for the American League milestone. MacDougall, Fox, and Power. Call to Cepeda. Cepeda hit the longest home run ever seen here at Forbes Field to the opposite field when he struck one a distance of 445 feet into right center. No one has ever come near that. No balls, one strike to Orlando. Willie Mays at third is tripled, knocked in the lead run, Henry Aaron, here in the National League's eighth inning. Pops it up on the first base side. Dick Power comes up. The ball now drifts foul. He goes over near the railing, leans over and makes the catch for the out. So the inning shows two runs, three hits, no errors, and one left. And at the end of eight innings of play, it's the National League 5 and the American League 4.
Look sharp. Feel sharp. Be sharp and live.
To the top of the ninth. We're attempting to determine where and how the winning and losing pitch is going to be set up, and it very likely will be as Elston now comes in. In relief of John Antonelli. It does appear that this will be an official scorer's knotty problem. Ken Boyer goes to third base for the National League. And Don Elston, the fine right-hander and relief pitcher, pitching at 2.25. In other words, an earned run average of 2.25. 1-5 and lost one. That's 1-5 in a row in relief for the Chicago Cubs. He faces Malzone of Boston, Frank Malzone, who popped up to second. He's 0-1 back in the eighth inning. There's a high curveball on. One ball and no strike. Elston's delivery swung on a miss by Malzone, 1-1. We're down now to the point where this could be the final inning. In a 5-4 ball game, John Antonelli went one-third of an inning. No runs, no hits, didn't strike out anybody, did walk one. Elston gets another fastball in there past the power of Malzone. Right up in his letters, but he had something on it. 1-2 as he swung it by him. Pitcher of the afternoon for the National League All-Stars. Don Elston, top half of the ninth, the National League leading 5-4. The right-hander works. Foul back by Malzone. Malzone, a right-hand batter, has a very wonderful target at which to swing in Boston. The short left field porch, as they call it. He has 10 homers, 39 RBIs. He's a very fine ball player. Elston working to Malzone in the ninth inning for the American League. They're down a run. The American League has won the last two All-Star Classic. Here's the 1-2 pitch up inside to 2. Manny Minoso is on deck. Team strikeouts in the ballgame, a couple shy of the record, for a total strikeouts by two clubs in the All-Star Classic. There's a pop-up on the first base side. It may spin up into the stands and does. 2-2. One could not have asked for a more brilliant, beautiful, sunshiny afternoon than the day presented the baseball fans of Pittsburgh and the fans of the nation for this 26th annual All-Star Classic. 2-2 pitch. There's a high pop. Hit up long short. Banks wants it. Shortstop Banks waiting for Malzone's pop. Hits off two steps to the left. That's one down. Now Manny Minoso, who is 0-4. He flied to center, went out to second, struck out, and fouled out. Stands in. He's the left fielder today for the Cleveland Indians, playing here in the American League All-Star. Wally Moon is in left field. Willie Mays is in center. Henry Aaron is right. They've not made a change there. The National League has not made anywhere near the changes the American League has done. Curve swung on a miss by Minoso, try to tie it up. Boyer's at third. Banks is short. Mazeroski at second. Cepeda at first. Crandall has been doing the catching all the way. And the pitcher is Don Elston, the great relief artist of the Chicago Cubs. Hard curveball outside and low. One ball, one strike. One ball and one strike. Low outside for ball two. 2-1. Game, a very explosive one. Jack described in the first 4.5 and just a home run or no count, 1-1, and then everything burst loose in the seventh and eighth inning. Two balls, one strike, and stepping away, Minoso fouls it off way up over our heads to the right. 2-2. As an example, in the score tied at 1-1, the National League in the seventh inning made it 3-1 their way. In the eighth inning, the American League came back for 3 runs to take the lead 4-3. The National League for 2 in the eighth, and it's 5-4. There's a strikeout swinging on Manny Minoso, 2 down, and we're within 1 of tying a record on strikeouts. 18 now, 19 is the record, and that was a 14-inning ball game. That's the ninth strikeout was Don Elson. And here's Nellie Fox, who struck out, fouled out to third, rolled out to second, and singled up the middle in the eighth and scored one of the three runs when the American League took the lead on a short live basis, 4-3, only to surrender at 5-4 as the National League came back with two runs in the eighth. Nellie Fox check swings on the hard curve inside below the knees, ball one. Nellie left hand batter. Don Elston, fifth pitcher of the afternoon, with two down, none on, works to Nellie Fox. There's a liner out the right field line, hooking, and it is up in the stands. It's a foul ball. Nellie Fox didn't miss it by much of tying it up. Well, Nellie Fox with two homers and 41 RBIs just scared the daylights out of National League fans with a two-out long blast to right, 300 feet right down the line. He took a shot at it, and it hooked foul. One ball, one strike. Don Elston again into the windup. There's a looper to left for the base hit. He went to the opposite field on a curveball. Wally Moon comes up with it. They stay alive, these American Leaguers. That'll bring up Harvey Keene, who walked in the eighth and scored a run. Now remember, Harvey Keene is part of Adams. He's hitting at 356. Two down. And now, a lot of action again. Warren Spahn is up for the Milwaukee Braves. Here's the pitch inside a ball to Harvey Keene. Conley of Philadelphia is also up. One ball and no strikes. The pitch. Low. The ball bounces off to the left. There goes the tying run into second and Nellie Fox. And he bluffs the throw to third. There's a skipping throw by Crandall on down to Boyer to hold the runner there. And it's a wild pitch. Charged to Don Elston. That little statement, the game is never over till the final out, begins to rear its ugly little head as far as the National Leaguers are concerned. Now the tying run in Nellie Fox has been wild pitch to second base. And there's a pretty fair man up there with a stick in the name of Harvey Keene at 356 for the Detroit Tigers. From Elston, a long drive to left field. It is curving. It is out of here. Foul. Well, I want to tell you, Harvey Keene laid the wood to that one. He only has three homers this year, 33 RBIs, but he just about put the American League in his game of inches back into the lead. Two balls and a strike now. Nellie Fox on second base. The score, 5-4. National League, top of the ninth. The pitch, foul back. Elston sent him a good moving pitch that time, and it moved just enough that he fouled it off to the right. 2-2. Two balls and two strikes. Let's see now if Elston's able to go to his favorite out pitch on a 2-2 delivery, a curveball that won't quit. Here's the look, the pitch. There's the curve. Ooh, Elston says he thought he had it, so did the catcher Crandall. It's called ball three, 3-2. Three balls and two strikes. Elston went right to his knees, supplication. He was wondering about it. Three balls and two strikes now to Harvey Keene. With Nellie Fox on second base, two out in the ninth. The look, the pitch. Pops it up foul off the third base side. Crandall and Boyer. Boyer stays with it. That's it. The National League beats the American League All-Stars. The final score is the National League 5 runs on 9 hits and 1 error. The American League 4 runs on 8 hits and no errors. In a moment, we'll review the highlights of the ball game for you. Well,
it's happened, ladies. They've put an end to the messiest part of a home permanent. Now, new No Mix Tony has a neutralizer that's actually easy to use. The first neutralizer that comes already mixed. No more watery neutralizing like old-fashioned permanent. No more fixing and mixing. No more drenching and dripping. Never again. With new No Mix Tony, there's no powder, no water to mix. Tony's No Mix neutralizer comes pre-mixed and concentrated in a handy little plastic bottle. Just snip off the tip and squeeze. What a creamy neutralizer. It's full of rich conditioning liquids that give you Tony's famous hidden body. And that's what holds any hairstyle like no other permanent can. Get new No Mix Tony. Put hidden body into your hair this new easy way. It's the first permanent with neutralizer already mixed. New No Mix Tony.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jack Brickhouse back in the booth now at Bordenfield in Pittsburgh, and here's a little brief review of what went on this afternoon out here in one of the most thrilling, one of the most exciting, and one of the most entertaining of all the All-Star games, as the National League drew up closer to the American League win total in this series. This, the 26th game, found the National League winning their number 11. The American League has won 15. Now, here are the totals for the winning National Leaguers. 5 runs, 9 hits, and 1 error. The winning pitcher was Johnny Antonelli. They used Drysdale for Depp, Face, Antonelli, and Don Elston in that order. And the American League had 4 runs on 8 hits and no errors. And the American League used Wynn, Duren, Bunning, Ford, and Daly. They really used plenty. As a matter of fact, Casey Stengel used 22 men in this ball game. And at one stage of the game, the only ones left down there were Daly and Pearson, the bullpen, and Yogi Berra and Casey himself on the bench. It must have been an interesting conversation between Yogi and Casey Stengel. Two great grammarians, one of whom has built up a vocabulary by reading lots of comic books, and the other who has been described as a man who talks like a fella coming out of the anesthetic. Anyway, it was one of the most interesting baseball games we've ever seen, and we've been lucky enough to have seen most of these All-Star contests, as has Bob. The official announced gate count was 34,763. The ticket sold was 35,277, which means that a few people who bought tickets didn't make it to the ballpark today. We're not going to go over the whole game for you, but we do want to point out that you can find all sorts of heroes and very few goats in this ball game today. Certainly one of the standout performances came a couple of hours ago, and a little better when at the opening of this particular performance here in Pittsburgh, Don Drysdale retired the first 9 men he faced, struck out 4, walked nobody, was followed by Burdett, who struck out a couple, Face struck out a couple, Antonelli, and Ford were the only pitchers who did not strike out somebody today. Early Wynn struck out 3, but he gave up that home run ball, so that right there just about wiped out his chance of being the winning pitcher 2 years in a row. He was the winner last year. Ryan Duren struck out 4 while walking only 1, and Bunning got a strikeout, and Daly got a strikeout in his performance at the end of the game. All told, there were 9 strikeouts on each side, a total of 18, and 1 short of the record for 2 teams. The record for 1 team is a dozen. Again, our congratulations to everybody, and of course, just the 8th inning alone was worth the price of admission as the American Leaguers came up with 3 big runs, batted around to do it, and it looked like they had finally come from behind in typical American League style, which they've done many times before to win the ball game. But the National League had it when they had to have it in their half of the 8th inning, and with base hits by Boyer, a great clutch bunt by Dick Grode, a very significant bunt, setting up a chance for Hank Aaron to belt one, and then Willie Mays' triple, which brought in Aaron with what turned out to be the winning run, and there you had a very, very explosive 8th inning. Well, we certainly hope you've enjoyed today's game, one of the many events brought to you on the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports. We have a World's Welterweight title strap on tap for you Friday night, July the 10th, when Don Jordan defends his crown against Dennis Moyer in a 15-rounder. So plan to be with us via radio or television and enjoy all the excitement. Our thanks to our NBC engineer, Harry Alexander. This broadcast was produced by NBC sports editor Paul Jonas. And this is Jack Brickhouse saying, along with Bob Prince, smooth sailing, smooth shaving, and good afternoon for your host, the Gillette Safety Razor Company.